This is PFW in progress.
Hey, we're all misfits too. Maybe we could stay here for a while.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Here comes the coach.
PFW and friends.
Paul Perillo.
Longest, thickest peanut butter.
You mean pea soup.
You eat what you like, I'll eat what I like. Yeah!
And Andy. And Andy?
Why am I such a misfit? I am not just a nitwit. You can't fire me, I quit.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Seems I don't fit in.
Andy Hart.
Something wrong with your nose? I mean, you talk kind of funny.
You're so funny both the way I talk.
Who ever heard of a skinny...
Some guy named Tom.
Eat.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
I think you're cute.
PFW in progress.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, everybody. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here. PFW in progress. And Tom, what the hell was that?
Playing the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, my goodness.
Total domination.
I've seen offense being stopped by penalties, by turnovers. I've seen them being able to move the ball but have to settle for field goals. They just couldn't do anything.
Nothing.
They could not move the ball.
Then 38-yard line was the furthest penetration of the day.
You know, and I've gone over it and over it in my mind, and, you know, everybody gets a little bit of the blame, obviously, mm-hmm. on offense. But when it comes down to it, I have to put it on the receivers, not getting open. Because, you know, Brady bought himself some time at times. You know, yes, there was a relentless pass rush. But I've seen this year, just take this year, for example, I saw Pittsburgh blitz on almost every down against Cincinnati and yet Cincinnati still be able to move the ball. I saw the Bears blitz on almost every down, yet the Arizona Cardinals being able to move the ball. There's ways to adjust and make people pay for constant blitz and constant pressure, you know. But the Patriots just did not adjust, and I think that even when Brady bought himself some time by moving around in the pocket, which I think he was doing pretty well in the first half, guys weren't getting open.
And I'll give you an analogy. When Michael Irvin left, he left prematurely in the third or fourth week of the season with a neck injury for Dallas. From that point on, teams blitzed the Cowboys until Troy Aikman retired because they didn't have receivers, and they just didn't fear anybody. And we were posing this question before. Rashe Caldwell has played well this year, but what happens if you take him out of the game? Is there anybody else who can step up?
Right.
We found our answer
right
this Sunday. No.
Right. And
there isn't.
You know, I have to say, at this point, when you combine the loss of Deion Branch with the fact that Chad Jackson has not emerged, which was, you know, going to mm-hmm. be take some of the burden off that, I think that those two things combined have been, right now, the worst thing for this team this year.
And I think fans got to stop with the waiting game. The season's over. Do you realize that? It's over. It's almost Christmas time. I don't want to hear it's Jackson's first season. That's not what everybody was saying. That's not what the message boards were saying. It's not what the emailers were saying. We all thought he was going to come in and make somewhat of an impact, not catch 80 passes,
right,
but be involved in the offense.
Be a threat.
Yeah, and, you know, it's too late to be saying, well, you know, they'll pick it up. Under Belichick, this is as bad as a team has ever played late in the season.
My only hope, and, you know, of course, I never give up hope, Tom.
You're coming close, though.
Well, my only hope right now is that, you know, guys like Harrison comes back in time for the playoffs, and the defense stays strong, and Maroney emerges as the offensive weapon.
Now,
I think short of that, they don't have a chance.
I'm going to give you a problem with your theory. One, the defense isn't that great. It's good, but you can do stuff on the Patriots, and the better teams can throw the ball on them across the middle and take advantage of their slow linebackers. Two, and this is the biggest one, if there's anything wrong with Vince Wilfork, close the book, because they don't have another guy.
But you're right about that. I mean, that's huge. You got to go to a 4-3.
You have to.
Yeah.
then you're putting Seymour inside. Because see, I thought Seymour and Tywarn had great games on Sunday. Seymour's had back-to-back great games.
Yeah.
And he started off a little slow. He's coming on. Now you got to move him inside where he isn't quite as effective. And it's like Bill says, you're kind of like changing three guys for one, and that's not a good thing.
No. But, you know, like I said, I don't give up hope. We'll see what happens. Maroney's got to be healthy. Harrison's got to be healthy.
The fact that they haven't played well, you know, this is when where everyone's expecting them to pick it up, and, you know, they still got two. I mean, last week we were saying, you know, I don't know why people are marking these games as wins.
No way.
They still got two tough games at Jacksonville and at Houston.
At Tennessee.
God forbid if they lose to Houston this week. I mean, people are going to be jumping off bridges.
Right. Do we take any solace as fans in the fact that, you know, the NFC champion that was crowned last week got murdered, Dallas? Do we take any solace in the fact that the sort of consensus as the number one seed in the AFC, Indianapolis, had 375 yards run all over them?
Well, first of all, Fred, I'll tell you what. You can't compare the Dallas one because they had been playing good. You know what I mean? They have been playing good, and they got whooped.
Right.
So, but the Patriots haven't been playing good. That's the difference. As far as the Colts, they're done. I mean, stick a fork in them. If you can just line up and hand the ball straight up the middle, you can't do anything against that.
You know, the one thing with them is if Bob Sanders is in the lineup, they can't stop the run.
Yeah, they're in more trouble than the Patriots are in.
Yeah. So do we take the fact that
there's nothing good you can take out of this game. It's the biggest whooping I've seen the Patriots take in a long,
long time. No, there's nothing good you can
take
out of it. And when you look at teams like Baltimore and San Diego, who right now are the 1 and 2 seeds, I think. Well, actually, the Colts are still number 2, I think.
Yeah.
But pretty soon it could be Baltimore. They both have really good defense.
And the thing is,
and they both, and now that Baltimore has a quarterback, they both have balanced enough offenses where the Patriots are going to be, the Patriots are in a tougher position by far right now than they were last year at this time.
It's not just that they have good defenses, it's how they play. Too many teams, and Paul and I were talking about this earlier, run that Tampa 2 bullcrap defense in the NFC that we saw all those NFC North teams play, where you play 15 yards off the receiver, you don't blitz. You do that to Tom Brady, he's going to pick you apart. But the Chargers and the Ravens, they do what the Dolphins did on Sunday. They attack. And I heard some people say, well, not everyone has Jason Taylor. Yeah? Well, you ever hear of Sean Merriman? You ever hear of Terrell Suggs? Those guys aren't too bad either.
Or how about that guy in Baltimore, Adelius
Thomas?
Yeah.
Those are scary defenses. And if the Patriots thought they had trouble with Miami, they're going to be in big, big trouble if they have to play one of those teams.
Well, I never give up hope, but, you know, you have to be a realist right now. And the Patriots, instead of getting healthier,
getting better.
Better like they do every December, we're not seeing it right now. And even they can score 40 points next week against Houston. They're supposed to.
Right.
We'll see about Tennessee and Jacksonville.
Because if they go down to Jacksonville and get whooped, I'm all done. I'm all done. I mean, if you're the second to last game and you're going on the road against a wild card team and getting your butts whooped,
right,
that's all I need to see.
And, you know, it doesn't matter. Even if they have their seeding wrapped up by that Jacksonville game, the way this team's playing, they got to approach that game like a playoff game and get into playoff playing mode.
Right.
Because they're not in it right now. And usually in December, they are. Even last year, with all the early season troubles
they had, playing their best
injuries,
ball right
they,
now.
You know, they made the switch. Vrabel came inside. You know, Artrell Hawkins started to emerge. Ellis Hobbs a little bit. And they started getting steady on defense. And that carried them through the season. Now, the defense, I have to say, is playing, they play pretty well.
Yeah, they
play
well.
But I have
to
factor that in with Joe Harrington stinks.
He's awful.
So
he is awful.
Even as well as I think the defense played on Sunday, it's not a good gauge against a team with Joe Harrington and without Ronnie Brown, by the way.
Exactly.
You know?
They should, with that offense, they should have won that game.
Yeah. So very, very disappointing. I don't care about all the troubles they've had in Miami. They should have won that game. And
to get beat the way they got beat,
it was 3-0, then 6-0. You're like, okay, you know, they're holding them to field goals. Second half, then the third quarter rolled on, and they're still not doing anything. And then at some point, you know, after that first drive in the fourth quarter, when they were down 13-0, and they still couldn't do anything, you said, that's it. Because then they got the ball back and there was 10.5 minutes left. And they're not going to do it twice against this team today. They're not going to be able to score twice against this team today in 10 minutes because they just can't do anything. They were helpless. They were completely helpless.
And I
haven't seen that in a long time.
I'm surprised other teams haven't done this so far. I mean, the Bears, that's what we were arguing about the Bears, Fred, and you said, well, maybe they can't switch it up. But for the Bears not to play similar to what the Dolphins did, to me, was an embarrassment. Because they have better players on defense. The Jets, everybody in the Jets locker room and everybody in the Dolphins locker room told me the same thing. If you let Tom Brady get in a rhythm early, pack your bags. Because he'll never get out of it. You got to make him uncomfortable right away and hit him, even if he's completing the pass. Put him on the ground. And I think that's the blueprint now that you're going to see teams do because they don't respect their wide receivers. And if Watson's out,
they don't respect the running game.
No.
Without, you know.
And you know what? Channing Crowder did say that. He said it was a big deal that Maroney wasn't in there because of all the different things he can do. He said Corey Dillon's a good player, but he just runs right at you, and that's a lot easier to defend. And that's another defensive player saying without Maroney, they're an easier team to defend.
Do you take any weight on the story about Saban getting all the tape with audio and them kind of deciphering the protection calls that Brady was making at the line?
If they did.
Do you think there's anything to that?
If they did, more power to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think every team should do that if you can. I don't know how, though, you get clear enough audio that you can do that.
They were physical with them. They were quicker off the ball. They just beat them in every phase of the game.
And like I said, I right now I still say the Patriots are a better team than Miami, but, you know, if you're going to play that way, any team can beat you.
Well, and you know what's even more frustrating, Fred, is that the week before we heard all the, well, we weren't really ready to play. We weren't up for the game. So you're kind of expecting them to come back with emotion.
Right.
And I forgot someone one of the Dolphins writers I was talking to while we were waiting for Saban to come in, and he said to me, he said, working up there, have you noticed a lack of emotion from this team? He said, because just from watching some of their games, he said, I don't see the same team that I saw in years past, like the fire, the energy. So that's someone from the outside even noticing that, and that's a problem.
Well, a lot to talk about here. A ton of emails have come in. I got a feeling I know some of the tone of these emails, and right now I really can't blame
people. I'm looking forward to this. Instead of slamming us, they're going to be slamming Josh McDaniels and Matt Light.
I can't blame them. Webradio@patriots.com is email address, and we have a real special surprise for our listeners. Paul and Andy have come down. They got to get in on this talk right now because, you know.
$10, my man.
What's that?
I bet him that as soon as we got in here, you'd say, oh, well, they lost this week, so Paul and Andy had to come down.
I didn't say they lost this week, that's why.
That's pretty much a given. No, he said, we have to get in on this.
Well, why are you? Why are you
down? What would this be in this case?
They don't have anything to do?
Why are you down?
It's Tuesday, so generally we all come down on Tuesday.
We should have the day off.
No. Well, then you have to work Monday, one or the other. You know, what are you eating wings?
Well, I'm looking at these wings too. I didn't know those were here. I would have been here at the start of the show.
What's that? You're gonna eat some wings?
Absolutely.
Okay. So webradio@patriots.com is email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Guys, you want to chime in? I mean, we've already had our 10-minute dialogue, Tom and I. You know.
No, I assume you guys covered it. Obviously, not a.
And I think you're a little more down on them than I am.
Who?
Patriots.
Myself.
Yeah. You sound
you
a little
pretty
more
much
down.
Jump ship.
Tom, I guess I don't know. They weren't here.
All right, so maybe
let me rephrase that.
Maybe you're spewing something else on the radio other than what you've been spewing in the offices and on the buses of late.
And I didn't hear what you said on the radio, so I'm just going off the.
Well, Fred said that he's not ready to give up. I said if they go to Jacksonville and get whooped. That's all I need to see. Because if you're getting whooped in your second-to-last game against a wild-card team, I don't need to see.
Here's what I said. I said my only hope at this point is that, you know, the defense can, you know, can continue to play well and better, and Maroney's healthy. Other than that, forget it. You know, because
your defense might have a problem if it's nose tackle.
Well, that's and Tom said the same thing, and that's absolutely right. Now you're moving to a 4-3.
Probably, you know, other than Brady, not the best player on the team, but the one guy that you can't replace
because
you don't have another one.
Yeah,
you don't have another Vince Wilfer.
And if you go 4-3, now you're saying, I guess, Warren and Seymour are both inside. Wright and Green are now every down players. And who, God forbid, if anything happens there, Marquise Hill might be stepping on the field and it's all over. So, I mean, that's one of those. I agree with Tom. It's not just because he's great, because I think he's had a very good year.
It's unique.
But he is unique in his abilities and the role he fills for you.
And we saw what happens when he's not in the game, when Sammy Morris tore up the middle there with relative ease at the end. I know it was at the end of the game, but still, it's when Wilfork wasn't there clogging up the middle, and you could see a lot more of those kinds of runs in the future.
Do we have a vibe? Anybody have a vibe or a hearing or a seeing or
I have a
anything?
Vibe that he's not going to be playing at least this week.
Who's that, Wilfork?
Yeah. Watson, I don't know anything about.
Fred goes, who?
Oh, we're also talking about Maroney.
Maroney,
no,
but
we're talking about nose tackle and
defense. My guess is Wilfork will be out at least a week, if not longer.
I kind of think he'll be out this week, too.
Wilfork.
The conversation I had with somebody before the game about Maroney, I don't think it's, you know, something that would keep him out long term. I think it was more of a kind of a precautionary thing this week.
Right, they didn't think they needed him.
Well, I don't think it was that, you know, and I know you're just trying to be funny, but I think they felt probably better to maybe rest him up and get him closer to 100% moving forward rather than making him play again, possibly worsening in it, and then maybe he's, you know.
You need him more in January than you do against the Dolphins. Not
that's,
what you think
the
about
impression
the Dolphins,
I got,
but the importance of games
in talking
January.
Before the game.
And one thing about, like, the whole Dylan Maroney thing, you know, they're showing the Jacksonville highlights up there. When they played the, when we say Dylan isn't what he used to be, Fred Taylor isn't what he used to be, but he busted out for $120 against the Colts. That team should have done the exact same thing Jacksonville did. They should have had 200 and some yards on the ground. But like Paul said, it wasn't like they were just getting away from the run. It's their run started to be ineffective. And that's a problem for me because their running game has not been consistent since Cincinnati.
Nope.
And that was so long ago, I don't even remember the game.
One side note, as Tom said, they were showing the Jaguars highlights back there. The seat I sat in for the Super Bowl in Jacksonville is so bad, they have them all covered with tarps now and don't sell them anymore.
They will if they have another Super Bowl there.
No, they won't sell them. They'll stick chumps like me in them with Andy Rooney.
You were sitting with Andy Rooney?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thought he was going to have a heart attack climbing all those
stairs. Well, it couldn't be that bad if a guy like that from CBS is sitting there.
You know, I mean, the guy who covers football once
Andy,
a year as opposed to the guy who's here 20 million hours a week.
This is why our fans hate you. Is because here you are sitting at a Super Bowl with Andy Rooney and you're complaining.
He's always complaining.
And most of our listeners would die for that. That's why people can't stand you. All right.
I'm just kidding.
Is Gary there?
I'm not complaining as compared to the listeners. I'm complaining as compared to these two.
Gary, let's take a break so I can have a wing. And when we get back, we're going to get right into these emails.
One of the best I've ever seen.
You can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson. Free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, a receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph your number, limited to your first bonus, qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Let's go, let's jump right in. Come on, baby, let's go.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, we're all misfits too. Maybe we could stay here for a while.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Here comes the coach.
PFW and friends.
Paul Perillo.
Longest, thickest peanut butter.
You mean pea soup.
You eat what you like, I'll eat what I like. Yeah!
And Andy. And Andy?
Why am I such a misfit? I am not just a nitwit. You can't buy any, I quit.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth,
seems I don't fit in.
Andy Hart.
Something wrong with your nose? I mean, you talk kind of funny.
I don't.
You're so funny both the way I talk.
Who ever heard of a skinny?
Some guy named Tom.
Eat, eat.
And you never know,
Lori might stop by.
I think you're cute.
PFW in Progress.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. We have a ton of emails, and we thank you for that. Good, bad, or whatever you have to say, we want to hear from you. So bring it on. We'll handle it. Before I get to the emails, anything else you guys want to add? Thoughts about the game, about the NFL week in general, some of the top-tier teams losing, and losing badly, by the way.
Anything? Well, I think this is when you got to watch out for teams. Like, I think Pittsburgh showed last year, it doesn't really matter what your record is if you can get hot.
Yep.
You look at someone like the Bengals. Like, if they can go and beat the Colts now and do it.
Everybody wrote them off. Now they could be, you know.
Now, here you go.
Fred, did you want to talk about Vince Young at all?
Andy is just like, you know, one guy that, like, he's liked and is actually playing well. He's like,
one guy.
You know, I remember, you know, Michael Vick coming in and getting the Atlanta Falcons to the playoffs almost immediately. So does that make him great?
Vince Young is a better leader and a better passer than Michael Vick.
Well, I don't know how much of a leader he is. I'm not there in the huddle, but
he's generally considered a great leader. That was his strength before anything else.
He's a very good passer. There's no doubt about it.
I would say that the two things he did say would be far superior to Michael Vick.
Yeah.
I actually think Jim Moore is going to luck out this week because their injuries at running back. They've already discussed some plays where they'll run Vick at running back and Schaub at quarterback.
You know, I heard,
and it's actually a way for him to make a change without all the hoopla and change and all that crap.
Yeah.
I actually heard Jaws talking about that, and I didn't know if he was basing it on anything or not. But that, I think that would be a great idea.
Well, that's what
somebody
reported. The assistant
about,
coaches have been
like
working
it, right?
on packages for that specific
reason.
Well, Vic
doesn't want to do it.
No, Vic doesn't want to do it.
But if you can kind of get him in that role out of Vic, it's just
not
an
because
emergency.
You're not playing well. Right. Not because you're not playing well.
Then when Shaw throws for 300,
we don't have more on a Jarius Norwood.
I still don't. I don't think he'll ever go for it. I mean, Cordell Stewart would never go for it.
There's a guy that was really in it. I mean, Michael Vick has 1,000 times more talent than
Cordell
Stewart as a quarterback.
Great player as that
Stewart could have carved out a very productive career, and instead he decided to be a quarterback for a couple of years and then be a backup quarterback for another five. And, you know, I probably cost himself chances to make a lot more money down the road.
And, Fred, I know I praise myself for Vince Sanity because I love him. I'll go the other way. Devin Hester, I thought, couldn't make it in the National Football League.
I was with Andy on that.
Couldn't have been more wrong on him.
All right. It's weird because in Miami's big games, he didn't really return a lot of – he didn't make big plays in big games. It was more the Florida A&Ms.
That's what I thought. I thought he was a good athlete who beat up on subpar
competition. I call it the Ron Dane syndrome. You know, you get all your impressive stats from bad – you know, but as Andy said, too, and I agree with him, while he's definitely a phenomenal kick returner, some of it's luck. Because remember Dante Hall had that year where he had all those returns, and we haven't heard from him since.
I didn't even watch the game last night. I was exhausted. But Grossman, I guess, had a pretty good game.
Doesn't matter.
No?
That team sucks. And then they play Tampa Bay,
Fred goes, sorry,
Green
Tom.
Bay, and Detroit. So we won't know anything. I'm just saying, Paul, you watched the game. Have you seen a softer defense this year than that Rams defense?
I watched
defense?
A little of the game, yeah, and the Rams looked terrible. I laughed because Niz's stats, 13 for 23 for 200 yards and two touchdowns. If Grossman doesn't turn the ball over, I think that's the best team in the NFC anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clear cut. They may be the best team anyway, but I mean, clear cut. They're the best team in the NFC if he doesn't turn the ball over. But I just think it's funny. It's like Fred goes, well, Grossman had a pretty good game, and Tom's like, shut up, Fred. It doesn't matter. No.
Well, I just think that
at least he keeps his job for another week.
He'll play well for the rest of the season because they don't play anybody. They'll probably finish 14-2, which will tell you what kind of joke this league is that Bears team is 14-2.
Did you see the Gale Sayers comments?
Yeah.
No.
Keep your mouth shut, old guy.
What'd he say?
He wants Greasy in.
Have to go to
Greasy.
Super Bowl.
Can't win a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman as your quarterback.
Company guy, huh?
Wow.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. I also want to remind people that the Pro Shop, there's still time to get that stuff delivered before Christmas. Check it out. A lot of unique.
As long as you don't want the gray hoodie.
after this week's game.
What do you mean? Phone's got to be ringing off the hook. They don't have the gray hoodie?
They're out of them.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
Whose fault you think that
apparently
is?
Apparently they can't give Corey Dillard jerseys away.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that? What's that?
Some guy won a contest on our website, and the prize was a Corey Dillard jersey. He emailed in and asked if he could get Lawrence Maroney instead.
Well, Maroney is the top-selling jersey by far.
Makes sense.
By far.
Do you know who the top-selling jersey in the league is?
Let me guess now. Hold on. Reggie Bush?
Yep.
All right. Rex Grossman.
All right, let's get to
Vince
some
Vince Young's got to be on a roll here, though, of late. He must be picking up pace.
I'm happy for you. All right.
I'm happy for the Titans,
Why do
though,
you
because
hate
I
Vince
like,
Young?
No, I do like Because I like Jeff Fisher. I think he's one of those guys that, even though he's an opponent, I think he's worth rooting for because I think he does it the right way.
I
I'm completely wrong about this, but just from afar, he appears, and I wasn't really on board with how they handled the whole Steve McNair situation this offseason, so I will criticize him for that. But I just
insulated from that because apparently he wasn't in on that decision.
Well, I think he kind of washed his hands of it is what he did. So
yeah,
I wasn't
exactly.
real happy with that. Yeah. But I just think from watching him over the last, whatever, decade, I think that he's one of those guys that I wouldn't mind if he was my coach.
Okay. Let's see. Some of these emails came in right after the game, and they were very excited to get their email in. So I think we should just, you know, read them to reward them for doing that. James from Denver says, the game isn't even over yet, and whatever the outcome, we're in serious trouble. If you have anyone email you about Dylan's great performance in this game, they've entirely missed the lesson that anyone can occasionally get 17 garbage yards when the pass is completely eliminated. So about those receivers, beyond having our supposed mismatch, one's injured, Watson and Jackson, what's the deal? Why aren't they open? Bad route running, not fast enough, O-line not giving enough time, no respect for the run? Why is it that I never hear about a 15 to 25-yard pass completion and instead hear about 7-yard completions to running backs and 50-yard incompletions? Ugh.
Well, other than Rashay Caldwell, who's been catching passes up to this point? At the receiver position.
In this game,
get Troy Brown will get you a couple every now and again.
Yeah, in this game, other than Troy Brown and Caldwell, they were the only receivers that caught a ball. And, you know, maybe you guys can help me out on this. You know, I've gone over and over to see who gets most of the blame in this game as far as the Patriots offense goes. And I got to say, it's the receivers.
No, I totally agree.
Especially in that first half, Brady, he was under pressure, but he was buying himself some time. Mm-hmm. He was moving in the pocket well, but still not finding anyone open. And I have to say, at this point in the season, The two things combined that have hurt the Patriots most this year is the loss of Branch and the lack of a production from Chad Jackson. Those two combined have killed this team.
I think you're right. I totally agree with you. Andy and I made a comment, I think it was one of the strip sacks in the second half, that Brady had plenty of time on a particular play. Now, I'm not saying that he had the most time that he had before people start writing and saying, what are you talking about? They had five sacks in the game. I felt, and Bill kind of talked about this yesterday, we all felt during the game that there was occasions more often than not when they had time to find someone and there just was nowhere to go with the football. And that, you know, you're not watching both. You're not watching you can't watch the rush and the receivers at the same time. So you got to make conclusions that when he has time to throw and he's buying time out of the pocket and still not getting rid of the ball, that he has no options.
Yeah. So I think that a lot of the reaction that you were in the other locker room, but Andy and Paul, that you got from some of the old linemen about, I got to get out of here.
Right.
I think it was.
That's what it might have been.
They knew that the blame was going to go on them initially, but there was some stories there that they didn't want to talk about.
But the blame, I think, should fall on them to some degree. They're a unit. They're supposed to be building towards something, and I haven't even seen consistent average play.
No.
I think they've been from average to below average to average to below average.
Yep.
Not once have I seen this line come out and say, you know what, today's the day.
But
jump on our back and we're going to carry
it. And there were some blitzes, too, that, you know, Jeremiah Bell came a couple of times completely on, and that never happens against the Patriots, where they just have the runaway rushes, as Bill always calls them.
Yeah.
And at least twice in the second half, he came shooting up the middle untouched.
But to answer the email, we were, I think, 2 months ago, all we kept saying was, Chad Jackson's the key to this team.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rishay Caldwell might be okay, Ben Watson might, but they need Chad Jackson to be the guy, a big play guy. And we've seen it. It hasn't developed on any level, and the offense hasn't developed on any level.
Right.
I mean, those two things go hand in hand.
Right.
And when the line goes, I mean, you always hear Jason Taylor. It wasn't just Jason Taylor.
Right.
I mean, Wall was in there. Carter was in there. You know, Holiday was in there.
Yep.
That whole line played bad. It wasn't just Matt Light on one end. The entire offensive line played like
stunk.
Crap.
Stunk. And I just don't get it because it's supposed to be young. It's supposed to be talented. They're tied up. You know, the whole thing was always, well, Dante Scarnecchia can take chicken crap and turn it into chicken salad. Well, now supposedly he has good willow tree chicken, and it's chicken poo.
Talk about making chicken salad out of chicken.
I think they're slow.
Derek,
I think the faster defenses go right by them.
Their tackles are especially slow.
But they're not supposed to be because they don't have these big behemoths.
Yeah, I think they have sort of unathletic tackles, and I think they have reasonably athletic guards, if that makes any sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think Neal and Mankins move around pretty well. I think Copen moves around pretty well inside, but I think the tackles are really at a disadvantage when they face power-speed combos. If it's just power, they're okay, and if they're just lightning quick like Dwight Freeney, sometimes they can get by with that too because they're so small. But a guy like Jason Taylor, Aaron Schobel, we've seen really dominate.
Right.
Those power-speed combo guys, I think Tom's right. I think they're slow.
But,
they really emphasize their lack of speed.
Matt Light is not big.
No.
So shouldn't he be athletic enough?
Yeah.
You got to be one or the other. If he was 350 pounds out there, I'd go, you know, this is a struggle matchup, speed, size. He's not. What is he?
Well,
he's a bottom-tier tackle is what he is.
Derek agrees with you guys. He says, I'm not going to say the O-line stinks, but they did on Sunday. They had nothing on offense. Also, I agree with you guys about Matt Light. He wrote this 2 days ago, and he knew what we were talking about. He's just not that good. I like what I've seen from O'Callaghan when he's healthy, and I think the other young guys have potential. What do you think? And P.S., screw Tom.
What have you seen from O'Callaghan? Seriously, I want this emailer to write in and let us know what you've seen from O'Callaghan. I love when the emailers see stuff.
He didn't even get mad at the screw Tom part. It
right.
was the line right before it.
No, you know why? I'll tell you what that email is. O'Callaghan wasn't on the field Sunday, so now we can absolve him from any wrongdoing. If O'Callaghan was in there, they probably would have had three more sacks. What have you seen from O'Callaghan?
I think Tom's right.
Well, you just don't know.
Sometimes a guy gets hurt and he becomes better than he was when he was playing.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it happened to Randall Gay.
He played. You could say that he played because Kazier wasn't playing early, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's why he was playing.
I don't know if he's any better than Kazier or who's – I don't know who's the better player. Let's see. Brent writes in, I live in Zurich, Switzerland, and I listen to your podcast every week. It seems this Patriots team has had a few games to overcome the turnovers and penalties, but they just can't do it. God bless Troy Brown, but otherwise we still do not have a receiver stepping up to give us the plays and keep the ball – I listen to the game over Field Pass and check out a few chat channels during the game. Given the fact that the team is playing so poorly, how can it be the players were smiling and laughing at the end of the Miami loss? If this is true, it just blows my mind that an elite team would have players happy about a 21-0 rout. If Saban was not a nice guy, it could have been 24 or 28-0 at the end of it. Where is the heart and fight in this team?
Hmm. Well, Fred, you mentioned the same thing.
We were
Who was smiling and laughing? What did Fred mention?
When we were getting on the plane, guys seemed to be
having a good
time.
I differentiate that from the sideline to on the ice. Okay, those are two different things for me.
I don't know. I would agree.
But on the sideline, if there were people on the sideline yucking it up as they're getting their butts handed to them, I have a problem with that.
You know,
I didn't see any of that before
it's over and in the immediate aftermath, I think is a little bit different than, you know, an hour removed from the final whistle. You're dressed, you're showered,
you're in street clothes.
Now there's a lot of family and friends of, you know, for either you or for some of your teammates that you might know. Okay, it's, you know, I'm a professional. I'm going to put the game behind me. I know that we didn't play well, but I'm not going to sit here and pout. That was one of the biggest eye-openers for me, Fred, when I started working with you, is you can't tell on the plane on the way home if they won or lost.
No.
You really can't.
That's true.
If you had no idea.
Except there's no movie.
if you had no idea, you'd never know.
Right.
From the mood on the plane.
Tom and I were talking. Do you guys make anything about the story that the Dolphins had video with audio of Brady's protection calls and that they had deciphered them and kind of knew what protections he was calling, and that's why they were able to get to him so easily?
Did they have it the first time? Because they only had 200. In two games, they have 400 total yards against the Dolphins, so they must have had that same video the first time they played them.
Plus,
they've had it for about 4 years.
I don't think necessarily that was a huge deal, and I know that Bill shot that down a little bit yesterday,
too. Of course
he would. But I think
otherwise, everybody else would be running to get that tape.
Right. No, but I want to be consistent about it, too, though, in that a lot of times when those kinds of little things get brought out after a Patriots win, I kind of downplay them, too, because I think that there's more to it than that. There's game planning and execution, obviously, are more important, and I always say that when the Patriots win. So I want to be consistent here and say I don't think it's necessarily a great – did it hurt the Dolphins? Probably not. But when Bill talks specifically about Tom Brady and how he – how did he put it, Andy? He had one of his best games ever in deciphering the coverage and setting up the coverage. I find it hard to believe that he would go that over the top about something that Brady did well if it wasn't the case.
Plus,
so how much did that really help?
What do you make out of the Dolphins saying that, you know, this is the most frustrated we've ever seen him when he started yelling at his receivers yelling at his line?
We knew
we really had him. What do you take of Brady yelling at his receivers and yelling at his line?
He's frustrated.
He's frustrated. and he was flustered. I think
it's as clear as can be.
And, Paul, you probably – and I brought this up. You probably remember it. I said – after Aikman lost Irvin when he had that neck injury early in the season that year, teams blitzed him for the rest of his career because they just wouldn't get any receivers. They always had inadequate receivers, and despite Aikman being a great quarterback who you would never blitz earlier in his career, teams were just coming full bore, and I feel they're doing the same. Because if you gave Brady, Wayne, and Harrison a new blitz, it's good night.
Right.
They'll score every time. So I think they're taking advantage of the lack of receivers on this team. And is it a surprise to anybody?
Right. And we do it all. We say, well, they don't have Deion Branch. Comparisons to those guys. I know Tom Brady won't do that outwardly, but internally he's saying, if only that was Deion Branch. You know, somewhere deep in the back of his mind, that's there, mm-hmm. and that's frustrating.
When you're on the field, the filter's off.
Right.
So instead of him thinking, I know the reason why this guy's asking me this question, but I can't really get into that, so I have to put on my happy fit. When you're on the field and, you know, Jason Taylor's running at you, you know, and you're hoping that Daniel Graham makes an adjustment to this, and he doesn't, or whatever, just as a hypothetical.
Sure.
He did. I picked Graham because he chewed out Graham pretty good during the game. What else are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, you don't... I don't want to say that I want him to be like Dan Marino and doing that on every single play, every game, the way Marino did. Every time he threw an incomplete pass, you know, it was like an act of God against him. I don't want to see that out of Brady, but at the same time, I can understand his frustrations.
Plus, back to the calls thing and the video, nowhere – I saw plenty of times where Jason Taylor – Benjamin Watson was lined up to block him, and he threw Benjamin Watson out of the way and went in the backfield. Matt Light was lined up to block him. He bull rushed him into the backfield. That had nothing to do with calls. Right. That was Jason Taylor whooping the guy's butt across the line.
That might have been the most impressive play of the game. It was a third down. Do you remember the series that they were going to go for it on 4th and 5, and then Matt Light jumped offside?
Right.
The play before that was a 3rd and 5 play. And Taylor just took Matt Light on that play and pushed him back like he was on roller skates right into Brady, and Brady had to throw it way quicker than he wanted to, and he missed Kevin Falk in the flat. That was the most impressive play I think Taylor made all day, because that was not I got the edge and just
right.
ran.
Just a power move.
He just knocked them over.
And my question would be, wouldn't Sean Merriman and Terrell Suggs and Adalius Thomas do the exact same thing?
I got to think going forward. I think about this team right now. Now, this is 13 games now. There's 3 games left. 13 games, I think of this team exactly the way I thought of them last year. I just don't.
You think they can win a playoff game at home?
I think if you're going to tell me they're playing anybody in the AFC in a playoff game, I'm not going to take away their chances to win it. But if you're going to ask me they're going to win 3 in a row to get to the Super Bowl, I'm going to say no.
Right. Let's see. Josh has changed his name to Sawyer because he says there's too many Joshes that email in. He's from Waterloo, Iowa. Says, today really opened my eyes to the fact that our dynasty is officially over.
Word.
It's not that we lost the game, but the fact that we look like orange fire water. Was there anything done well to hang our helmet on? 9-4 may be what a lot of teams would like to have as a record, but who have we beat? It was good to see Graham step up and take the role of lead tight end, including adding to our increasing fumble stats. Every time somebody has the ball, I just wait to see who fumbles it. I think the only way we make it to the second round of the playoffs is if we even go, is to get the bye, and we can't win games, let alone enough to get the bye. Where's our fire and passion? 3 rings and out? Is that our mentality? We look like zombies out there.
Sounds like a DVD.
Maybe we should feed our team hot dogs before the game to fire them up.
Sawyer, I think, brings up an interesting point in kind of a throwaway, not the fire water and any of that
stuff.
I think
you're going to say something the same thing as
me,
and I agree
Bill
with
Belichick's
you.
Comments that we're 9-4 and a lot of... That, I found that shocking that he said
my ears
that.
Went straight up when he said that. I couldn't believe that he came
to
out
to me,
of
that was
mouth.
His version of throwing a white flag. We're just not that good.
I could not. I mean, maybe
I think
make
he's
it
decided this
it.
Team's not that good, and 9-4 is pretty good for this crappy football team.
And I couldn't agree more, and I actually got 2 phone calls.
Hey, I did too.
One from my father and one from my brother that said they couldn't
not your
believe.
Dad or brother. But
they didn't call you?
No, some other people.
Couldn't believe that he said that. And now that's, you know, I'm not saying that means, well, geez, that's the mentality that everybody has, but if we thought it, and we thought they were strange comments, I would imagine that a lot of people thought the same
thing. It's interesting that he said that because another player, and I don't know if it was on Patriots Monday, also said we're a 9-4 football
yep.
team. So that was said in the locker room to them.
Yep.
I think that's very interesting. To me, on some level, that's an
Maybe
admission
he's just
of...
Trying to
And at the end of the year,
to say, look, you guys are a good football team. Start playing like
at the end
it.
Of the year, they may be a 10-6 football team, just like
right.
they were last year.
And they may very well be 12-4. And I might think a little bit differently of it. But right now,
they're showing us nothing that makes me believe they're going to go on some kind of tear.
I don't remember after the Dolphins game in 2004 him saying, you know, we're an 11-2 football team.
Right.
A lot of teams would like to be that. I don't remember that kind of stuff.
Because he knew it was a very good football team.
Yeah. And
well,
not,
maybe he just knew that all week they're going to hear how bad they are, so I might as well tell them how good they are. I don't know.
No, if you think that kind of stuff helps you win football games, I guess we think differently then.
See, that's my whole thing about
I think it's crap.
The audible, you know, the line calls and all that. That's what, you know, when they go to see Shackleton's Adventure and it's giving credit for winning 14 games that year, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I used to downplay.
But
so that's why I'm trying to be
But
consistent.
See, I think it, on good teams, I agree with you. But I think little things for average teams can be big. You know what I mean? Like,
but
if you're a good football
team, a comment doesn't change. Right. Is that
comment
going to stop Jason Taylor from picking up Matt Light and tossing him like a sack of potatoes?
No, but I think a comment like that in a matchup where Bill says, we might not be as talented. I can't afford to have any lack of confidence. You know what I mean? When it's that equal, I think he feels like if our guys pack their head in, well, see, I don't think so because I think they weren't as good in the past and they played above their level. Right now, I think he's worried that they might lose confidence and start to play even worse when he already knows they're not as good.
I would argue that they had some better players here in the past, too.
Luke, I am your father.
That's good. I like it.
What was that all about, Gary? Elbow? Inverting? Hello, Luke.
Let's see. Bren writes in, Fred, Paul, Andy, Tom, it seems as if for the last 2 seasons the Patriots have been absolutely incapable of making the big play in every phase of the game. They don't run for big gains. The pass blocking has been inconsistent, not giving Brady time to look deep. They have 2 points on defense all season, and that was in the very first game. They haven't scored on special teams since Bethel Johnson kick return 2003 against the Colts. As a Pats fan, it's very frustrating and leads me to my question. What do you think is the reason for this lack of big plays on defense? In 03, they returned 6 interceptions for touchdowns, but they had players like Ty Law, a healthy, hungry Rodney Harrison, and a nimbler Teddy Bruschi to force these plays. Now it seems as if they are not aggressive on defense, with the corners always playing back and the lack of premier pass rusher. Or, if the corners are pressing, sitting on a short route, they just sit there and let the receiver come to them as if they are afraid to gamble. Is this part of the coaching philosophy, or do you think it has to do with the players themselves? Also on offense, the running game has not been what it should be this season, apart from the first few games. Dillon is easily more than a step slower, and Maroney has not been able to use his speed to break the long run we've been waiting for since we drafted him. Bottom line, the Patriots are just an average team right now. I do not see them making the Super Bowl, and we'll have to wait until the playoffs for everyone to know if they can compete with a good team. I know this is a long email, but thanks for reading it. So what do you think about lack of playmaking on defense?
You know, I hate to be the bad guy here, but Teddy Bruschi.
No, you don't.
Well, I was going to say, since when?
Teddy Bruschi has lost more than a step. He looks comical out there trying to cover people, and I don't know if they can go next year with. They got to get some youth out there. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, they've neglected the linebacking position way too long, and it's catching up with them.
I said 2 years ago that was going to be the year they go and replenish the linebacker. And they
We say it every year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm just going to bottle everything I said before the last two drafts and say it again this year, because sooner or later I have to be right.
Raymond
but
from
the I do agree, by the way, with the premise of the playmakers on defense. That was a big aspect of those championship teams, and they have been sorely lacking. And I think Tom's point is they're just not that athletic anymore.
Yeah.
And they're really not.
I mean, the last time, when's the last time they've had a interception return for a touchdown?
Last year.
Vrabel against Carolina?
Probably.
No, Samuel in the playoffs.
Samuel in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Raymond from Turlock, California. What a sad loss. I know the passing game really struggled, but if any fan or analyst puts the fault on Brady, they deserve to be slapped. It makes me sick when you have the best quarterback in the NFL trying to throw to receivers who just absolutely cannot get open after being jammed in man coverage. I know you guys brought this up in the past where the team is not taking full advantage of Brady's skills. I've really agreed with you all along, but it really didn't hit me until this Miami game. I mean, the poor guy was taking his hits left and right. I know the O-line played like crap, but the receivers were no help either. Seems like this team is moving backwards instead of moving forward this time of year. Is there any hope for improvement? I mean, realistically, how much can they improve with just 3 games left?
I agree.
Don't worry, they'll do it.
Well, you don't even believe your own crap.
I'll tell you, that Brady's one tough SOB.
No question.
I can't believe he doesn't get injured.
I thought that one strips, when they were going to take his shoulder out of the
socket.
Yeah,
he had a couple where his arm was over his head. Those are the really damaging ones to the shoulder, and
Fred,
evidently he's all right.
You don't even believe your own crap.
Right.
It's true.
Let's see. Todd writes in, with another sloppy turnover and penalized field game by the Pats, can we even be confident that they will win the AFC East? Have we found the identity of this team that everyone has been searching for, an identity of a sloppy and poorly coached team?
Mediocre.
They still have a 2-game lead, but with the way they're playing, I can see them losing the rest of their games and the division title to the Jets or Miami. No need to even talk about playoffs yet, although let the draft coverage begin, because if they continue to show this type of consistency, they will be a first-round exit if they get that far. I can't even smile about the Jags pounding of Indy, and I hate Indy. That's Todd.
All I can say in terms of the AFC East is be thankful that the Bills beat the Jets.
Yeah.
Because if the Jets had won that game, I think you would have really been, you know, holding on to your hat for the last 3 weeks here. But with the 2-game lead,
yeah.
I mean, now you're looking at a colossal,
I mean, they've
monumental
be Houston
collapse.
They have to beat Houston.
I thought you said they weren't going to.
I didn't say. I said
if they don't beat
Houston, I'm worried about them.
If they don't beat Houston, I mean, get the biggest fork out you want.
Yeah.
You stick it right in them.
I think even if they play another, you know, lackluster, sloppy game against Houston, you know, if they do what they did against Detroit and win, I think you can stick the fork out for them.
What
too.
Hope are you giving your fans or anyone? Let's see. Who's this now that's writing in? Matt H. writes in, As the game was coming to an end, I couldn't decide if I was disgusted with Randy Cross simply because I was frustrated with how badly the Pats played. But no, it's just that he really sucks. From that smarmy know-it-all attitude to the trite malaprops, like sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you, and the bear is getting his napkin ready.
Now, wait, is he talking about Randy Cross or Andy?
Randy Cross.
Hey, why?
He said smart know-it-all attitude.
I don't even know what a malaprop is.
To out-and-out mistakes, I really...
Fred, explain what a malaprop is to Andy, because I don't think I can explain it.
I guess it's just like kind of cliches.
It's when you use it...
Well, I got that from the context. I just never heard the word.
Like on purpose?
Well...
It's when you, it's like Norm Crosby used to have
right,
malaprops.
It's when you take a well-known thing, but...
You butcher
it the wrong way.
Right. Right. But kind of intentionally.
I don't know if it's like you said.
I don't know if it's just a mistake. I don't know if it's a mistake.
For all intensive purposes.
Right. Intensive.
Elk.
That's just because I'm an idiot, just so you know.
Elk.
No intention.
Throughout not mistakes, I really believe he's the worst of a terrible crop of NFL analysts. For example, please don't self-assuredly cite 70s song Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog, otherwise known as Joy to the World, as being by Creedence Clearwater Revival when it was actually sung by Three Dog Night. But more importantly, for your second year in a row, he refers to Stephen Neal as Big Dan Neal. What it suggests is that he does no preparation for the telecast and simply shows up because he believes his superior football knowledge will carry him through. When you pair him with the overrated Dick Enberg, you know you're in for a bad day.
Well, what's even worse for Cross? Isn't he the preseason
He's the
announcer?
Patriots preseason
he should know the Patriots as well as any team he does.
That's right.
Dan Neal plays, well, he used to play for the Broncos. I don't know if he's still there anymore.
As for the
he's
game,
the one who broke Brian Cox's leg in 2001.
Right. As for the game, one thing that is a bit overlooked is the punting. In a field position game, punting is everything. The difference is that the Dolphins have a good punter and we don't. Danny Bauer can't be worse, can he? And there must be someone in the roster who can hold for a field goal. They better win
That's
this
what
week,
I said.
Or 10 wins is no sure thing.
Just a dismal crowd today.
Oh, yeah.
Dismal.
Should be. It's matching the team's performance.
Webradio@patriots.com. Mark with a C from New Hampshire. The season gets more interesting with each game. Let's forget about talking about this game and spend the whole show talking about Tom's encounters as a personal trainer. That would be a lot more exciting. Anyway, I'm giving Chad Jackson till the end of the regular season to get it going.
2 years ago,
or I'm starting a Chad Jackson bus campaign. Do you think he will?
It's already been started.
Do you think he'll be any help come the playoffs?
No.
No.
Well, I was going to say, if you're only giving it to the end of this season, you might as well crank it up now.
2 years ago, I was banging 19-year-old blonde girls. Boy, this is tough. But we have to move on, guys. We can't just end the show. We got to keep going. And
we will.
You know?
And we've already started the Chad Jackson bust campaign here at Patriots.com.
Listening to our fans, maybe some fan will email in why there should be some hope.
You can't take anything from that game. If you're gonna provide hope, it's got to be from something else.
You know what I take from that game? You know what makes me feel good about that game? That Maroney wasn't part of it.
Okay.
That makes me feel good about that game.
All right.
I don't get any extra pleasure out of that because I don't think the outcome would have been one lick of a difference.
I don't either.
Richard Seymour and Ty Warren played okay.
It was so thoroughly
that's what I said earlier. I said those two played well. Other than
but they've played well all year, and it doesn't matter. So,
let's see. Al Fecto writes what.
Watch this, Tom.
What are we watching?
Top of the screen. What? You can't see it. They won't show. There's an angle where a guy just gets blasted for Houston on that Vince Young touchdown run.
Okay.
Fred doesn't acknowledge that play.
Al Fecto writes in, I'm willing to accept total blame for the Pats debacle in Miami this week. I negligently broke my strict routine of wearing only my authentic Ben Coates jersey for each regular season game, as I had delivered the jersey to a local dry cleaner and then forgot to pick it up before Sunday.
You got
to
dry clean those things?
As a result, I instead ended up wearing my John Hanna authentic 1985 throwback jersey for this game, and up until now, I have only broken that baby out for the postseason. It's that sort of lack of concentration that will get a fan in trouble around the NFL. I need to get better. Anyway.
I agree.
I've been a big fan of Matt Light. But it's hard to imagine how he can look like a world beater against Dwight Freeney whenever we play the Colts and then turn around and look like a punching bag against Jason Taylor.
Whenever we play the Colts?
I miss the games that he looked like a world beater again. I mean, I've seen him do okay against Dwight Freeney, but I have never seen him look like a world beater against Dwight Freeney. I've seen the combination of Daniel Graham and Matt Light do okay against Dwight Freeney, but
It's hard to believe it's the same guy out there at left tackle. Maybe he's been nursing an injury. We just don't know about it.
I think he's the same guy since 2001. I think he's played. This is what he is.
Yeah.
He's okay at times and downright ugly at others.
It's as if the Denver Broncos have our number as a team and Jason Taylor has our number as an individual player. We just can't block that guy.
He's a pretty good player now.
Yeah.
he's not bad now, despite my claims that he's overrated.
James from Dyer, Indiana, the iPod guy, makes it short and sweet, says, "Hey, guys, we suck. Thanks for listening."
Woohoo!
Well, I don't know.
Right now, we suck.
Fred has a hard time. Like, he can't go the whole way.
Yeah.
You're one of those guys, Fred. You just can't take it.
I did hear the word draft come out of your mouth this weekend.
That was a joke.
I don't know about that.
No, I was just joking.
Generally, you only joke about Super Bowls and titles.
The line was all draft talk this week on PFW in Progress.
Well, I never give up hope. What's the sense?
But you shouldn't give up
what's
hope.
The sense?
There's no reason to completely give up hope, but you also need to be realistic
and now look at it as realistic.
Do you know how? No, I think you have too, but you know how, like, we used to say, if all things were equal, if you were going into a game and you'd say if there was no turnovers in the game, the Patriots are going to win. Well, I now think that if they're playing a playoff caliber team and there's no turnovers in the game, the Patriots lose.
Well, let's put it this way. If the Patriots weren't playing Houston next week, and let's say they're going to Jacksonville, I'd probably pick the Jaguars to win. Mm-hmm.
But now that the Jaguars
luckily,
is 2 weeks away,
right.
We don't have to worry about that.
We don't have to worry about it. Let's see how the Patriots are playing.
Luckily, they'll beat a crappy Texans team, and then you can pick them again against the Jaguars.
Because win, lose, or draw next week against Houston, you're taking the Patriots against the Jags.
Let's see how they beat Houston, and that will determine where I go from there.
You're unbelievable.
I take it 1 week at a time. 1 week at a time. Let's see. Nick writes on. Well, I'm not going to talk about the game much. I'm sure my fellow fanatics will cover all the woes. I will just say that Tully Bantakane is not the answer. He will never be a true starter in the NFL. Two point-blank shots on Harrington and whiff. Walter can't hold well enough to have 34-yard average. And after it became apparent that
Did he have that big of an average?
It was 35 average,
29.
32 net.
No,
I thought it was 29 net.
29 net.
That's why I was surprised that he had that much of an average.
And after it became apparent that Tom didn't have enough to throw, I began thinking why not have a design rollout, and then McDaniels actually call one, and they can't do that either. On the positive side, I thought Rosie and Warren played pretty well. I'm watching the Bears-Rams game.
Did Rosie get off the bus?
I saw him make one play.
One play.
And I was on a ball that was thrown well behind the receiver,
which
allowed him to catch up to the guy, in my opinion,
made a
and
nice
make a tackle
play.
On a key third down.
It was like a two-yard play.
It was like a third and seven, and a guy caught a crossing route, and he made the tackle short of the first down.
Yeah.
I didn't see him show up very much.
It's the only time I saw him all day.
I thought
Warren and Seymour.
Warren and Seymour.
Both
played. Well, Warren has just been
very well.
Good every single game all year.
Warren's been that way every game. Seymour, he's been quiet since that elbow injury, especially.
I'm watching the Bears Rams game, and Devin Hester should be in the running for Rookie of the Year. But watching him makes me wonder: where's our number 23? Willie Andrews was not drafted to be the next Gerard Sherry. What does Sealy get paid to do? Is it just a situation of during the season you can't teach new things, only practice what you already do? He's the only one on the team with a game-changing return in him. Down by two TDs and then three TDs, it is time to stop playing it so safe. You have to do something that injects life into the team. Well, they brought out Ellis Hobbs.
I was going to say, I think they actually did that.
Yeah.
They put Ellis Hobbs out there for the first time all season, and he had a big return.
And you can forget about Devin Hester. Vince Young's winning Rookie of the Year.
How many times do I have to see Leonard I Killed a Woman Little on TV? Why isn't he in jail?
He
should be hiding and begging a higher power for forgiveness.
I agree.
Holt is a record-setting receiver. Isaac Bruce is one of the greatest receivers to ever suit up, and even less people know him than they know Holt. They are great, and watching Bruce, not to mention Holt, makes me sad that Tom doesn't have anyone even close to that kind of talent to throw to.
Yeah,
right now,
I
think San Diego routes their way to Super Bowl 41. LT is unstoppable.
So. I couldn't tell. He's trying to say that Torrey Holt is underrated or something that people don't know about.
I think he's just saying that.
He's...
No, I think he's between Isaac Bruce and Holt that. They're both amazing, is what he's saying.
Yeah, but I thought he was kind of claiming that
they
didn't get their due or something like that. I think they're two of the greatest
receivers.
Oh, I
thought he said Holt gets more due than Bruce.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, I thought he made the point that Bruce gets even less due than Holt, which is right because Holt is better. But
the
Bruce was pretty good too. He's not as good as
now,
he was.
Now he's pretty good now. No, I think Holt is a better receiver than Bruce, and Bruce is a great receiver. I think they're both great, and I think they're both considered great. That's the only thing that I was wondering about. And clearly, Patriots don't have anything even coming close to that caliber.
I'm wondering if they have anybody as good as Kevin Curtis.
This is Sawyer.
Like Mike Fury.
This is Sawyer again from Waterloo, Iowa. He says, I've had time to calm down after the game.
Is
now,
this Sawyer from Lost?
Wait, no, I haven't. We suck. My fear is that the dynasty is over, and I remember the days of barely making the playoffs, if ever, and I am not ready to go back to those days. After seeing Mojo Drew go off yesterday, it looks like something Maroney could do if given the chance. I just wanted to see if I could get Tom worked up. Last year, when the Chargers crushed the Pats, it was the only time we have been out to a home game. I guess the bright spot was to see LT in person. Do you guys feel he is the best there has been?
Well, he's the best there is now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the best of his, you know, since he's been playing.
He might be the best all-around back ever.
Marshall Faulk was pretty good. So here we go again, forgetting about everybody who's ever played the game.
Right.
I'll take LT over Faulk.
Well, that's because Faulk hasn't played in a couple of years, and we forget the year that he had 90 receptions.
I think he was a better runner.
I didn't forget.
Well, I'm just saying.
I think Marshall Faulk played on offenses that had other weapons. LT is the guy. That's all.
Well, and I
doesn't mean I'm right. It's just my opinion.
Well, I agree with you. I'm just saying, in general, we
you're arguing about the same thing?
No, I'm just saying, but people...
We're not arguing at all. It's called a sports discussion, Andy.
But people... Now,
sorry, Paul.
They love to throw the greatest
careful
of
today.
All time around, but, you know, there's a lot of people
well,
in,
I didn't
that
say,
in
the
discussion.
The all-time thing.
So Marty Schottenheimer says, ever to wear a uniform.
He may end up being, but I can't call him that in the midst of his career.
Yeah.
Why not?
He's
Marty
a
Schottenheimer.
Darn good player.
I think Faulk was great, and I do think that he was a combination, you know, receiver, runner. I mean, did both for 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
I just think that he was on a lot of, I mean, some early in his career in the Colts, he was the focal point, but for a lot of his Rams career, they had, you know, Bruce and Holt and Kurt Warner was an MVP. And, you know, I don't think that the Chargers have had that, you know, beyond Gates. I think it was basically LT. You go into the game, we got to stop LT.
I also think Tomlinson has more deceptive power. I don't think people give him credit for being as powerful as he is.
Karthik in Chicago, tough loss at Miami again. So where exactly is the problem? Teams like Denver, Miami always have a go at us. Is it because of protection, wide receivers not able to get open, or does Brady need to do something different? I see Brady always get pampered against Denver and Miami. What do you think should we do different whilst playing a defense that's blitzing a lot?
Whilst?
We always get... outcoached and outplayed by Denver in Miami.
Fred, is your phone ringing?
Because it's buzzing.
Because the whole table's buzzing.
You want to take that, Fred?
I was telling Tom, you know, I saw Pittsburgh blitz the hell out of Cincinnati, yet Cincinnati overcame it this year. I saw the Bears, you know, put all kinds of pressure on Matt Leinart.
What do those teams have in common, Fred? The two teams you just mentioned. What do Cincinnati and Arizona have in common?
Maybe they have receivers.
They have receivers. Yeah. And it's harder to blitz teams when receivers are open. Yeah. Do you know how more often Chad Johnson is open than Rashay Caldwell? Just think about it. When they run routes.
And by how much more?
TJ Hushmanzada, those guys, compared to Doug Gabriel. And Paul's right. It's not the little crack. They get wide
because
open.
When you're under attack like that, sometimes the throw is not going to be perfect. So if you're not... you know, open, right. You might be in trouble.
I'll give you another example. There was a play on Sunday. Brady threw down the sideline to Gabriel. Now, the ball was underthrown, but...
That ball had to be caught.
But Gabriel
and you know what?
Has to catch that.
And you know what? And I'll make my normal disclaimer about my quarterback apologist theory and how I always think Brady's right, but I don't think that ball was underthrown. I think that was one of those back shoulder fades that was thrown that way on purpose. He came back, and the ball was in the air.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was scooping it off the ground. There's a great picture in the Herald today, actually, of that play, and the pass is coming. His hands are underneath it. He flat out dropped.
He just looks so slow in reacting to the ball and to adjusting to the ball. And you know, I hate to say it, but that's the kind of play that Givens makes. You know, he was able to adjust on the fly, and I think Givens made a lot of hard ones look impossible and easy ones look hard. But you know, he was willing to just put his body on the line. I didn't see that with Gabriel in that play. You got to make that catch.
Yep.
That's not a, you know, the one to Watson down the seam.
That was a tough ball.
He's going to take a big, big hit on that. Now, I would
have. Well, what happened was he should have caught it, and then it should have been knocked out.
Right.
And then
right.
I would completely absolve him if that happened.
Right.
Okay, I would say that he knows he's going to get a really big hit there. But like Andy said, the ball was gone. Yeah. In other words, if there was no hit there and he was going to be.
Wouldn't have caught
if he was going to be off to the races for a touchdown, he still dropped.
And by the way, that was a rifle by Brady.
That was a great, great
rope.
That was what he can do when a receiver's open.
What's that?
See what he can do when a receiver's open.
Yeah. All right, Gary, let's take a break. We got a ton more emails. We'll get to them right after this.
Breaks the tackle, drives it upfield to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson.
First round draft pick in 2004 to only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Exclusively from New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet. Autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points because fans want contact too. Autographed your name is limited to your first board. Qualifying purchase details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
Mr. Green Christmas, I'm Mr. Sun, I'm Mr. Heat.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
I'm Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
All right. What's that from?
Please what tell that? Me you're kidding.
Is that the Grinch? What is that?
Grinch. Have we lost all holiday spirit and tradition? And does no one just get into? Is it just?
I have
Christmas
never heard
show
that song before.
Never heard that song?
What is it? What is it? From?
You've heard it on this show.
What is it? Is anyone going to tell me what is it? Or is everyone...
I'm not telling you.
Paul, why don't we let the emailers tell you? Emailers, tell Fred what that song's from.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas.
We didn't
emailers, send them in, webradio@patriots.com. Put Fred in his place, please.
Such an idiot.
Don't you watch any of the Christmas specials?
Not anymore,
that
no.
are on every year?
No, I don't watch. I don't have time.
By the way, get to the email, Scrooge.
Does ABC own all those? Because that was a good thing on their part to monopolize the whole. That's a good idea.
All channels bought Christmas stuff. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is NBC. It's a Wonderful Life is NBC. So now they
Wizard of Oz, which was on last night, has nothing to do with Christmas.
You know, if you've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, don't watch it on NBC because every 10 minutes is a commercial.
Rent it
and watch it. You know, it's just. I got so mad. You know, I'd seen it before. And
Brian Moy doesn't work here anymore.
A couple of years ago, they had it on NBC, so I sat down and watched it. I got so mad, I literally called NBC on their complaint line and left a complaint. I did.
Hey, boss.
I always wonder, you know, when, like, Steve Lyons got in trouble this year, you know, with Fox.
Who calls?
And they say, well, we got flooded with calls. I always wonder,
what
would possess someone to call? Now I know.
I picked up the phone more than once.
I was really, I can see you.
How do you call? What, like, you gotta go to their website and then find it?
I wouldn't even
like,
know how, Andy. I wouldn't even know
how to
go about it.
There's customer complaints. Yeah. And you can
the local station or the?
Information.
No, I called NBC in
New York. That's what I do with ESPN. Bristol, Connecticut. ESPN.
Yeah.
I hate the telephone so much that I just wait till I see the person the next time, even when I have something to say. Like Fred needs me to ask my father something. I'm gonna see him tonight.
He doesn't want to call.
Because I don't. I just.
It just makes you.
I
feel
hate
better,
the phone.
Yeah. It makes you. Like, it makes you feel better. Like if you give a a 2 minute F word. This you got you dirty. You know. Just then I can sit down and relax and watch the rest of the movie.
He's got.
You've done your duty. All right. Matt from Quincy, watching last night's game, I was thinking about Scott Linehan's act. Just screams position coach. When you run the ship,
sucks.
You can't go around being a high five guy.
Did he say ship?
When you
run the ship.
Oh, I thought he said the other word.
He even patted the ref on the ass. He went to high-five Steven Jackson, and Jackson couldn't have looked more uncomfortable if Linehan offered him a back rub. That high-five chest bump in the foxhole routine is for position coaches and maybe even coordinators. When the HC does it, it blurs the line between the soldiers and the generals. Don't tell that to Cower. He does all... Anyway, it sends the message to players that they are buddies, equals. They are not. They can't be. It doesn't work. Maybe someday when he's coaching at Popcorn State, which could be in a year or two, he could be the life of the party. On a completely different topic, whatever happened to the Pats' charge of tampering against the Jets in the Deion Branch affair?
I haven't heard anything about that.
Usually, it's really all those tampering affairs. They come out like some team is thinking, and they never go anywhere.
Because you can't prove it.
You never can prove it.
Well, I like the one this year in baseball with the Red Sox and the Dodgers. The Dodgers were going to have tampering on J.D. Drew.
Yeah.
And then the Red Sox came out like 2 days later. There was a story that if they were prepared to do the same thing back to them and about the Manny Ramirez situation, and all of a sudden the Dodgers said, yeah, we're not going to be filing any tampering charges.
How do you prove it, though? Don't you say, agent, did you talk to them? Player, did you talk to them? They both say no?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right. You know,
it's such a good area.
I mean,
area.
For crying out loud, in the Lawyer Malloy case, he came right out and said he had a deal.
Right.
You know, and they still couldn't prove anything. So what do you think, though, about head coaches that are just too,
I think
you know,
he's got a point with Linehan. I've seen the same thing from him. He's too much of that.
But if he could coach, wouldn't that override anything?
If he was coaching, they were winning, it'd be fine.
I'm just saying I don't like his whole demeanor on the sidelines. He's one of those guys who's always pleading with, like, begging the official.
Right. Well, I don't like his demeanor on the sidelines.
That's what
whatsoever.
I don't like.
That performance that he had in the Seattle game when the Seahawks made the, you remember the, the illegal formation penalty that happened in the last 10 seconds, and he thought it should be a 10-second runoff, and he was complaining about, you know, he had the rule wrong, first of all, which, number one, you know, head coach, know the rules.
Right.
And number
two.
That
comes up more often than we think lately, though.
And number two, he's just whining and pleading to the officials. I don't like
that. He was doing
that
last night, too.
Fred, I think you bring up a great point. Bill Cowher is
Bill
very
Cowher's
much
been
that
doing
style.
It for years.
He's
and they've been winning for years.
He's a respected head coach, but also is not afraid to high five and really get extra Pepper Johnson like motivated on the sideline. And he's been a very successful head coach.
Mayor from Tampa, Florida. I'm now convinced that the Patriots will not win the Super Bowl this year. These guys are convinced after week two. It is obvious that this team does
week
not
two.
Have we enough talent to win a championship.
12 seconds into the season.
And what really worries me even more is the fact that the future looks bleak. This responsibility falls squarely on the Patriots management. For the last 5 years, this team has been loaded with draft picks with not much to show for. Other than D linemen and tight ends, they have been terrible drafting corners, safeties, linebackers, and receivers. And when the picks pan out, they let the players leave in their prime, Branch, Givens, and probably Samuel after this year. Maybe I shouldn't be complaining. They've won three Super Bowls since 01. But by doing that, they set the bar so high for the fans that anything less than a Super Bowl would feel like a losing season. One last thing. I'm sick and tired of hearing that Richard Seymour is the best player at his position. There's a guy in Miami who plays the same position that might have something to say about that. Actually, they're not really the same position.
And I don't think it's wrong. If they've been that successful, then you should expect to win the Super Bowl every year. You shouldn't be happy with 10-6. I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, the Yankees aren't
nothing
happy to get
that.
The ALCS every year. They want to win the World Series.
Yeah. I don't think the future looks bleak, though. I think Tom Brady is your quarterback. They got two first-round picks next year.
I'll tell you what, Fred. You know what I was doing yesterday, because I'm such a loser? I was comparing their positions with some of the other teams in the conference, like just position-wise. They might have less talent than you think they do. I think they get by because of Belichick and Brady most of the time, but you look at that linebacker position, you look at the secondary, you look at the receivers, they need a lot of new players.
Well,
they really do.
They certainly do at linebacker and receiver. There's no doubt about it. And they
need to be aggressive in free agency.
Yeah,
you can't just keep drafting guys and hope they come in and learn the system.
Just as a warning for you, Tom, save yourself an aneurysm and don't read my commentary for next week.
Let's see. Alex writes in, this is the same Miami team that lost to Green Bay at home. So why do you think they match up so well against the Patriots? It's not only Saban, because remember when they lost in 04, the coach was the old man who replaced Wanstead.
Bates.
Yeah.
I think he forgot there as he's typing, he just goes the old man that replaced
Wanstead. Well, the Dolphins are the Dolphins. They're like what Paul says about the Jets. I don't think you can pencil them in against anybody. There's going to be weeks where they just sync it up.
You know, let's face it, their season is really broken up into two specific, parts. Early in the year, they couldn't beat anybody. You know, they were life and death with Houston for their only win, when Tennessee was playing terrible. They lost to Houston. They lost to Green Bay. They lost to Buffalo. They couldn't beat anybody. And then all of a sudden, they finally got it turned around. And it wasn't Culpepper Harrington, because Harrington had as many of those losses as Culpepper did early in the year. And then they finally turned it around. And now I don't think that they would be – I wouldn't say that they can't beat anybody going into the game. Now, I think they'd be underdogs against plenty of teams, but – you can't be shocked that the Patriots went down to Miami and lost.
No. I just think we're shocked at how they lost.
I am shocked that they got blanked.
I mean, I thought the Patriots would win 14-7. That's clearly not saying the Patriots would dominate.
I am shocked that they were shut out. I didn't think that they would have that kind of a performance. But, Tom made the comment earlier. People forgot that first game when they were playing terribly. 213 yards of total offense.
That was
here.
Joey Harrington's first game.
No, I'm talking about what the Patriots had.
No, I know. It was a close game, and Harrington had just started playing.
And he was terrible.
And it was still close.
Remember? I mean,
yeah.
He threw two terrible interceptions in that game.
Some people say a pass interference call on that game.
But even before that, two terrible interceptions by Harrington gave him short fields. Otherwise, they would have never been able to score points that day. They were not, much like if they had the punting field position situation that they had Sunday, the Patriots would never have been able to score that amount of points with 200 yards.
I think the thing that I'm shocked about is I thought if they went down there and lost, you'd point to mistakes and you can point to the penalties. You can point to the turnovers. They got their ass.
That's not why they lost. They lost because they got kicked.
Right, and I heard. And I agree with you guys, both of you. There's been a lot of talk about the turnovers. Three more turnovers.
Who cares?
Well, two of them were completely and totally irrelevant to the game. The Daniel Graham fumble was an important fumble.
Right.
It was a scoreless game. Gave the Dolphins a short field, and they got a field goal to get the lead. That kind of allows them to keep playing the way they wanted
Castle
to play.
It was
21-0 with a couple of minutes left in Castle on one of them. And
after
even
Bill had packed it in.
And even Brady's was a fumble that was on a third and long. It was going to end up being fourth and about 25 down 13-0. That was a big sack on that play anyway, even if they had recovered the fumble or if he didn't fumble at all. Really, those last two turnovers didn't have a lot to do with that game.
Let's see. Louie writes in, I didn't watch those Pats-Dolphins games during Dan Marino's prime. How were they? I've read that the Patriots had the edge in the cold, but in Miami they were treated like a $2 Tijuana. Well, you know what? Ask John Rook.
it was one of those situations where the Patriots usually found a way to win in Foxborough and couldn't win in Miami until they finally broke through and won the AFC Championship game in 85. Then they went on a little run winning in Miami. I think they won three or four in a row in Miami.
It was four. It was four in a row.
When they opened the new stadium, Joe Robbie Stadium, the Patriots actually won their first couple of trips down there. But for the most part, Marino won in Miami and lost in Foxborough.
Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. What team was that out there on the field Sunday? I thought the defense played great.
Your New England Patriots.
Especially with the injuries they had on that side of the ball. How can you have 66 yards passing when you have Brady at quarterback? Do you guys know what the lowest passing total all time is for the Pats? This one has to be close.
Zero? It's not even Brady's lowest. This one wasn't even Brady's lowest.
Right.
Against Miami, he had a lower run, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had his four lowest ones ever were all against Miami.
And the lowest one isn't fair because that's the half game last year, quarter game, whatever.
Did the receivers not?
But I bet the snowplow game probably had very few.
Yeah.
Do we have a media guide here, Andy? Andy's got one. I'll look it up and I'll get back to you.
Did the receivers just not get open, or what was your perspective? What a horrible offensive game plan. I know the Dolphins have a great defense. Well, screw the Dolphins. I'm tired of hearing all the excuses. The Patriots need to execute and look like they belong on the field. How about that punting game? It sucks. Is Ken Walter the best we could find? This team has no chance against the Chargers or Ravens. And will probably need a fourth quarter drive to beat the lowly Texans.
I disagree about the game plan.
Punting story of mine is picking up legs.
I disagree about the game plan. I don't know how you guys feel, but I think the game plan was fine on Sunday. I think that they just didn't execute it well.
The only thing I have a problem with, and I've had a problem with it before, is that it seems, I think it was the Dolphins game. Yeah. They did the same thing last time where they started blitzing more in the second half.
Yep.
And they don't seem to adjust well when a team doesn't blitz a lot early and then starts to bring the pressure. You know, maybe getting Falk more involved or something, but that's other than that.
Well, it's interesting. They tried to get Falk involved very early in this game, but there wasn't any really screen passes or anything going on that way. You know,
they ran a few.
Did they?
That Grant fumbled on one of them.
Well, that play didn't they have two tight ends in the backfield?
It's a tight end screen.
Yeah, but I mean,
that play was.
That was more like
a screen.
I guess it was. That was an option.
So you want Kevin Falk?
They had both Watson and Graham in the backfield on that play, right next to.
I don't remember what the formation was, but it was a screen.
See, I don't care about Kevin Falk. He ain't going anywhere. What I would say is, if Maroney was in there, I would try to get him the ball. If teams are blitzing, to try to take advantage of him being out there with less defenders.
Sure.
But he wasn't there, so what are you going to do?
You want the answer?
My bright spot. Go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Fewest net yards passing in a
12.
Game. Four versus the New York Jets, September 19th, 1982. Later that season was the second fewest all
12.
Time, 13 versus Miami, December 12th. Is that the snowplow game?
Yeah.
December. So they had two performances that were...
Sounds like an exciting year.
who was the quarterback 90, in that four-yarder?
Just so you know, they made the playoffs that year.
I'm guessing Grogan. Saying.
Imagine that.
I don't know. It could have been Eason.
No.
No, Eason 82? Got it 83.
82 it was? So it would have been Grogan and Kavanaugh, but probably Grogan.
And... Wow. They have a, this wasn't even close, just so you know, this lists the first five, and it's 4, 13, 15, 16, and 16. So they have five performances under 20 yards at least. So.
All right.
Pretty bad franchise now back then.
James Edwards, what else can I say but that I'm very disappointed in the team as a whole?
Oh, even James is disappointed.
This loss hurts even more than the three previous losses, and for more than just one reason. And here they are. One, they lost 21-0 to the Dolphins. Two, the three previous losses were games that could have been wins had the Patriots either played a bit better and or avoided just some of the drive-killing turnovers. Neither would have helped in this one because this one wasn't even close. Three, those three previous losses were to teams that were and still are better teams than the Dolphins. Four, not only did they lose badly to a team they should have beat, but they played so bad that a Dolphins defense that could not hold the pitiful Packers offense under 34 points in their own stadium held the Patriots scoreless. And five, the Patriots played so bad that the Dolphins looked more like a team who was headed to the playoffs, while the Patriots looked more like a team or one of those teams playing for the first pick in the draft.
I just want to say, I think the second one is the best one because I think it left fans saying, maybe we're just not as good as the Dolphins are. There were no mistakes where you say if they had done this, and this, they should have won.
Right.
You couldn't win that day on
that
field.
There were no what-ifs.
You couldn't win. You weren't good enough that day on that
football
field.
There were no what-ifs in this game, and Fred said it as soon as we got on the bus. You know, it was just a butt-kicking, and there was nothing. No, turnovers didn't have anything to do with it. I think it's a little unfair to say, to a defense that couldn't even stop Green Bay.
Stopped a lot of other people.
That's like saying, well, the Patriots have a defense that couldn't even keep Detroit below 21 on their home stadium. But you pick out the one single worst game of the year against a bad team. The Dolphins' defense has been pretty good all year.
That's Tom's eyeball test. You look at the Dolphins' defense, it's a good defense.
Yeah.
I don't care about one game against the Packers.
You know, when Joey Harrington threw a bunch of interceptions that day, and that's how they scored. I think they had two interception returns for touchdowns, by the way, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, I mean, none of us think the Dolphins are better than the Bears, do we? And you know, they whooped them on their home. Wasn't that game in Chicago?
Yeah,
that game was in Chicago. I bet you if they played again, I'd give the advantage to Chicago.
Dolphins might be getting closer to the Bears every day, though. They're building steam heading down the stretch here.
They seem to be the best team in the AFC East.
PJ writes in, PJ Neccarelli, I didn't get a chance to see the game, but I get the highlights on iTunes, and I don't think I want to watch them.
I wouldn't.
I can't believe we got shut out. It looked to me on the highlights that I saw on ESPN that the offensive line got eaten up.
So you already saw them.
We were all laughing at Jason Taylor at the start of the year. I guess he had the last laugh. Did Brady play as poorly as the numbers looked?
Paul was laughing.
Right up before the kickoff.
Or did he not have enough time to find receivers? Also, what's up with the Colts? They might wind up as the third seed and have to play in the first round. If you can't stop the run, it's hard to win in this league. Speaking of which, is the loss of Junior Seau hurting the team that bad because Sammy Morris torched them? Also, Paul, if you were there, I have a name for your next baby if it is a girl, Sassy, with the nickname Sass, Sarsaparilla.
Good stuff, PJ.
I don't
get it.
I don't agree with the Morris thing.
Sarsaparilla.
Okay.
It's a boy, by the way. PJ.
You guys, yes.
You're a loser.
Paul's having a boy.
Actually, my wife is.
And I'm having a girl.
He just looks pregnant.
She's not pregnant yet, but I know I'm having a girl.
Thanks, Fred.
Yeah, Tom is having a girl, by the way.
You guys have a job to do this week. It is to get me through the week and off the bridge without jumping.
I say jump.
What do you really have to live for?
Tom's what's his name in where he handcuffs him to him and jumps with him. What movie is that? The guy, Mike, the wacko guy who's a
drunk. Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon.
The only thing I would say is Sammy Morris played okay, but he had that big 44-yard run late in the game.
Sammy Morris did not torch them.
I think when
they are missing Junior Seau.
When it counted, the Patriots were stopping the run pretty well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't the problem.
It was very late. I mean, forget the 44-yard run. That was complete garbage time. They did run it a little bit better when it was 13-0. All of a sudden, he started getting a couple of 10-yard runs in the middle. But, I mean,
so
they had that.
The Patriots
was Will Fork out at that point?
Yeah. And they also had that situation where the biggest drive of the game, in my opinion, was when it was 6-0. Consecutive possessions, the Dolphins took over at the Patriots' 43-yard line. The first one, they held them 3-and-out and made them punt. The second one, they stopped him on the first three plays, and they went for it on fourth down and got it with a fourth down run, fourth and one. Again, by the way, it's interesting when you have a fourth down and you need a chain link to get, you go for it and you give your team a chance to win the game. It just, you know, the differences between what Detroit did the week before. It took him four carries to get barely 11 yards. So I think the run defense was okay. I think the defense played great, actually, on the one play
as well as they could.
The one play was that touchdown on the next play after that fourth down conversion. I thought Hawkins could have made a play.
Oh, he is so close to that one.
And he didn't. But
I think it just got worn down. They were out there all day.
Too much. And in bad spots all day. They were in situations all day where one first down, they were going to allow points. You know, how many times did Wes Welker come flying up to make a catch on a punt and end up in Patriots territory? At least three times.
Yep. And, you know, when the Patriots were pinned back, which was They did a good job getting out of those things. But, again, they didn't have a guy like Maroney who could pop one for 20 yards. And so Dolphins knew that. And so they could play a certain way.
They don't have big play players at all. I mean, even – I know Watson has made some good catches this year, but where's the catch where he goes down the seam for 60? And, you know, where are those plays? Yeah. You know, Caldwell had one in Green Bay, but
– they're few and far between, that's for sure.
Let's see. Russell from the OC. To avoid being completely negative following that embarrassment on Sunday, I think it can be said that for the consistently lousy field position they were left with, the defense did better than average. Now on to reality. I don't want to use the word fraudulent, but it's clear that this team is the least legitimate 9-4 team in the AFC. So looking ahead to the next year, how do you correct all their problems? Offensive line, Matt Light has got to go. Bargain basement price or not, Brady's health is at risk. Just guessing Troy comes back for one more year, and Caldwell has 1 year left. I think they need three receivers. Chad Jackson may show up for three games if we're lucky.
Right.
Bill took the wrong Jackson. Should have taken Vincent Jackson and left Chad for San Diego. If they keep Samuel, they need another corner. If they don't, they need two. Plus, they need linebackers. I fear this could be a long, quick drop to the middle of the pack before things get better. Miami's defense isn't that good that they get shut out. After Taylor and Thomas, who strikes fear in that D? There will be some extra cap cash once Dylan is let go. Maybe they'll get lucky and draft players who can and will play. I haven't felt this bad since the end of the 2000 season. I need some Pizzeria Regina from the North End to ease this pain.
That's tough. Good pizza.
Do the original or the other one?
The original.
Because they have the original restaurant, but then they have the restaurant like in Faneuil Hall, and I hear it's a little different.
I don't know. I can't accurately make that comment.
Okay.
Gary probably can. He's a more cosmopolitan sort than I.
They also have one in the Burlington Mall and a couple locations at Polcari's up by Paul.
Well,
they
satellite have locations.
The Polcari's on Route 1 in Saugus, they have Pizzeria Regina pizza. It's not bad.
It's very thin. I like it. It's good. I like good thin crust pizza. That's the way pizza should be.
I do as well, Fred.
What about you, Tom? What kind of pizza do you like?
Thin.
Pan pizza? Thin.
Do you call
I
it pie?
Said thin.
I like pan pizza, except when they run out of it by the time they get Tom and I's seat on the plane.
How about the fact that he even gets mad? I just said thin.
It doesn't take us long to get off talking about the Patriots, does it?
Well, first of all, they asked us this week not to talk about the game. Talk about other stuff and keep us entertained.
The good news, Fred, is I finally got that vacuum cleaner.
Oh, did you?
And I paid more for shipping than I did for the vacuum cleaner because I'm an idiot.
What kind of cleaner did you get?
It's just one of those little like combo mop vacuums for like
Electrolux
kitchen
stick.
It's a Bissell.
Oh, Bissell.
A Bissell.
All right.
Bissell. Small thing, but then I got it delivered, and I just figured, you know, whatever it cost, you know, I got some, just for a comparison, I got a bunch of stuff the day before, clothes, and it cost me $6 to get it shipped.
Me too. That's what I paid today. $150 worth of clothes for $5.
So
was the Salvation Army?
This
No, the shipping.
Oh. This cost me $65 to ship it. It's a little small little vacuum.
That's ridiculous.
Where'd you get it from?
You got ripped off, Paul.
Can we just say the names of the stores? And I guess we can. Lowe's.
Oh, why don't you just go there and get it?
I would have if I had known it was going to cost me $65.
Because he's lazy.
On Friday, what we're going to be doing is asking people to email us their Christmas list problems. So we're going to give them tips on gifts that they get.
Why are we doing that?
They have to describe the scenario
to us.
Why are we
doing that?
Just to irritate you, Tom.
We're going
to
give them Christmas hints and gift buying tips.
And I'm asking that you don't do it.
Why not?
Because I don't want to sit here on Friday and do it.
But I'm the one that's in a bad mood all the time.
No, Tom's always in a bad mood, too.
No, I mean, well, I don't want to sit here for an hour and give people tips on what to get for Christmas. Well, I really don't care.
We intersperse that with football talk, Tom. It's Christmas.
Fred, I got a tree yesterday. What kind did you tell me to get?
Oh, Fraser fir.
That's what I got.
You got a Fraser fir. Good for you.
Not because you told me to, because I looked at all the trees and said, I like that one.
The best.
I just like the look of it. If it could have said...
Out of emails?
No, we got tons of emails.
Could have said elephant poop on it. I would have bought it because it looked nice.
Okay, representing the fans who only like to talk about football 24 hours, Tom Casale, Ryan in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Is it just me, or are we decimated by injuries right now?
Just you.
Are our receivers so slow that teams can play zero coverage and blitz six every down? Unless somebody decides
just
to
be... Just so you know, they didn't do that on Sunday.
Not every down, no. Unless somebody decides to be nice and play zone, are we toast? Tom can't do three-step drops because the receivers are getting bumped. Can't do five-step because the receivers don't separate fast enough. Can't do seven steps because the pass rush is all over them by then. Can't run if the teams put 8 and 9 in the box and leave the corners on islands against our slow pass receivers. So other than try to get better, Belichick-style response, what can we do other than LT win a Super Bowl? Oh, other than watch LT win a Super Bowl. Well, I don't know. You know, things are bad right now. I tell you, the team's what are we laughing at here?
I hadn't seen Devin Hester's
second return
when he started calling people on at like the 25-yard line. That was Dion-like.
Wow.
That was impressive. Again, could not have been more wrong on him.
Ron in Tennessee, I'll tell you this. As a fan and DirecTV subscriber, I want my money in the 3 hours of my life back after watching that disgustingly pitiful performance. There are not enough words to describe how frustrating it was and has been all year to watch this team underachieve. The bottom line is this team is not very good. Well, then how are they underachieving?
I was going to say, when do we stop saying they're not playing well, and when do we start saying that they are what they are?
And so. I should just add that you won't get your money back, because after the Tyson-Black Rhino fight, when he fought the Black Rhino, I called to get my money back, and they wouldn't give it to me.
Shocker.
But they never got that $50.
Do you have
bucks.
A list of all the places and companies that you've called to get money back?
I thought no, I don't call a lot to get money back. I call to complain. That was one of the few
many,
times where I said, "Can I please have my money back?"
What percentage of the times when you make a complaint call do you get satisfaction?
I get personal satisfaction because I get to yell.
That's it. That's all you're looking
for.
That
and $50, he could order another fight.
No, see, it's all about anger issues, Fred. If you get it out right away, then it just goes.
Okay.
If you keep it bottled up like Paul does, then you burst out and, you know, you take it out on undeserving people like me.
I bottle up my anger. I can't read, Tom. I'm always in a bad mood and then I bottle up my anger.
Ron continues, I'm tired of hearing how great our tight ends are when neither one of them can catch or hang on to the ball unless they're wide open, which is almost never. I'm tired of hearing how good our offensive line is when they can neither run or pass block consistently. Most of all, I'm tired of watching my quarterback get hit, stupid turnovers, stupid penalties, and ugly wins against bad teams. If not for the gift of playing the NFC North this year, this team would be lucky to be over 500. The worst part of all this is that the Tom Brady window of opportunity won't be open forever. And this team is wasting this once-in-a-franchise talent to save a few dollars. They blew it with Branch, and unless they can surround this guy with some playmakers on both sides of the ball, I'm afraid the dynasty died that turnover-filled January night in Denver.
Well, if you're sick of reading about how great the team is and about how great the offensive line is, all I can say is stop reading the Boston Globe.
P.S. if you're
Yeah, how many people have really been praising the offensive line and everything? Nobody.
We haven't.
I say we go the other way too often.
Reading the Boston Globe.
Probably.
Certainly on this show, I think we probably overreact negatively at times.
P.S. if you're going to get into a field position game with your division rival, the last guy you want as your punter is Ken Walter. That was pathetic.
No, he's a good holder. We're missing the point here. Everybody's missing the point. He's a good holder.
Well, you know what we should ask Bill this
good
week?
Good news is when you don't attempt any kicks, field goals, or PATs.
We should ask Bill this week, when you don't score any points, how valuable is Walter to your team?
Crap, just go for two if you have to.
Josh in Jacksonville writes in, I said, I noticed on the Patriots website that they have a behind-the-scenes with Chad Jackson. Why would we have a behind-the-scenes with someone who hasn't done anything for the Patriots? Anything, Chad should be the one interviewing, maybe interviewing you guys. Do you guys have anything to do with those behind-the-scenes?
No.
How's that for washing your hands of the whole thing?
That's idiocy that's spewed from the PR department.
Well, those are actually written for the game day. We just republished them.
Idiocy spewed from the PR department.
You guys want to know how bad that game was? One of the notes actually talked about them being shut out. Like it's the first time since, because they never
give out
negative
notes.
Never. But they couldn't find enough good notes that they had to talk about the shutout. That's how bad that game was.
Had a creative headline that said, shut out.
Yeah.
to be honest with you, I did the notes this week, and I don't know, I may have missed something that I should have had in there, but I didn't even look at them because I figured I'm not going to get anything of note
from
looking at
the
them.
Shutout was the only
I purposely didn't even look at them. And I did the shutout on my own.
Yeah.
Dan Zalucky writes in, calls himself Dr. Z. He says, it's not the end of the
world. I think that one's taken by about 30 other people.
It's not the end of the world. Miami has always had their number, not necessarily Brady's number, though.
Have they always beaten them like this?
As so many observers like to casually throw around, I attribute it more to the O-line that just seems to be a badly matched up with the Miami D. Worst performance of the year from the O-line, specifically Matt Light, who got bitched all day by Jason Taylor. If it wasn't Taylor himself, his play distracted enough to let the other Sharks in at Brady. I haven't seen one defensive player alone have that much of an impact on a game as Taylor did in a long time, Peppers and Urlachers included. Hats off to him. He virtually single-handedly won the game for his team. P.S., this is for Tom. I had sick, twisted pride in watching another player get bitched all game last night, Roy Williams.
Wow, yeah. That one was even worse than Matt Light.
Don't get Tom started about.
No, the only difference between
Tom went home and actually dissected every play that Roy Williams.
The difference between the two is I think Matt Light was actually trying, and Roy Williams has stopped trying. So that's the difference.
Wow.
That was pretty bad. Did you see any highlights of some of those plays? There was some really, really bad.
And actually, didn't even Bill Parcells say something about it?
Yeah. Well, they pressed him on the safety spot, and instead of just, blowing it off, he said,
we stink.
You can't just play in one way. Basically, his point was, that's all well and good to be a guy that's effective up in the box, but safeties need to do more than that in the NFL. And
speaking of it, there he is.
And I got to say, I've gone from saying that he's overrated to now he's actually hurting the football team. I mean, that's how bad of the year he's having. But you know what? Come February, he'll be in Hawaii.
No, I don't think so this year.
How much you want to bet? I got $20 right
now. I don't know what the voting is, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Vince from Pennsylvania. While I'm not totally down on this team yet, I must say it's hard to be excited for the playoffs at this point in the season. I'd be a lot happier if we actually played good football and lost a close one, but losing to the Dolphins the way we did is ridiculous. Oh, and I was glad to see the running game in the fourth quarter. I was wondering where it was during the rest of the game. Good job, McDaniels. Wow.
They ran it 25 times. They threw it 25 times.
There you go. There's that balance that you're always looking for.
But where was the running game going, Fred? I mean, it was going.
No, there was nothing they could have done.
Dylan made the nice run where he made Goodman miss on the outside and got a bunch of yards. But one of his runs was a give up play on third and long where they
third and 14. He ran for like 11, and I think it was very similar. And you guys talked about it after the game. It was very similar to Denver in the playoffs last year, where Miami went in and said, "You're going to hand the ball to Corey Dillon 25 times if you want. That's fine with us. You're not going to beat us doing that." And even though I think Dillon had a fine day, I don't think you could have asked him to do any more than he did.
Nope.
Right.
I think that he ran fine. He averaged almost 5 yards a carry. That's more than you can expect from Corey Dillon. I just don't think the Patriots were going to win by doing that, and I think that's how Miami felt.
Nope. They were prepared for the Patriots to do that. They were completely saying, Tom Brady, we're not going to let Tom Brady beat us.
And that's, you saw, some of the short yardage plays, they did nothing. When it called for a run, they did nothing. It was, basically first down when they were looking at, an all-out blitz. They had a couple of draws on third and long that got some yardage. Here and there, I thought he ran
direct
well. Like
snap
I said,
to Kevin Falk.
There was nothing that Corey Dillon could have done better in that game, in my opinion. I thought he ran as well as he is capable of running right now.
James says, one more thing. If I had to pick the MVP right now, it would be LaDainian Tomlinson. Talk about a one-man team. If he was not there to help them win those games they were trailing late, they might not have 5, maybe 6 wins total instead of having the best record in the NFL.
Oh, I mean, that's, come on.
Well, he is the MVP.
I agree, but they would have 5 wins if he wasn't there. How many comebacks did they have? I don't think they had 6 come-from-behind wins.
No.
Let's see. Chris says,
we always got to cut down all the other teams.
Chris says, this is a run blocking line, and without Maroney, they need to pass consistently to win. Yes,
the run blocking line. If they were that, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see them come out and just blow people off the ball and run.
Yes.
But I've never seen either them do anything with any consistency.
No, that's not true. They did it once.
Yes, the Dylan's runs look good, but for some reason they feel they can't use them regularly, and I'm assuming, insert Kool-Aid joke here, they are correct.
Well, it's usually because he's jogging to the sideline telling somebody else to come in and play.
The wideouts are just very limited, which has the secondary impact of having the line being unable to handle the heavy pass rush when you blitz a safety who isn't needed in the secondary.
Well, I'm gonna throw a positive out here. This is why Belichick is such a good coach, because his game plan changes from week to week.
Right.
For teams like the Vikings and the Packers to come in here and lay off receivers and let Tom Brady sit there with all day to throw the ball, that's awful coaching, in my opinion. Because if you're going to die, at least give it a chance. At least go after Brady and make him beat you. But will you do what the Vikings did? Might as well not even come out of the locker room.
And you know what? It just makes it so much tougher for the offense, because there were opportunities to make plays. They got shut out, and we can all just look at that game as a disaster now. But at the time when the game was being played, first of all, it was a 6-0 game for a long time.
For most of the game.
Or a 3-0 game, actually, for a lot longer than it was only 6-0. I remember a play deep down the sideline to Gaffney that just missed. I remember a couple of opportunities for other plays that, the Gabriel one that you brought up earlier, Fred.
Watson
down the seam.
Caldwell.
it just makes it more difficult to execute those plays. You compare the pass that they almost got to Gaffney that could have been a touchdown and could have changed the way the rest of the game was played. Compare that play to the play in Green Bay to Caldwell for the 50-whatever-yard touchdown and the degree, the level of difficulty it was to execute those plays. To illustrate Tom's point, if you sit back and you let them do that, that's what's going to happen. If you press and force the other team to make tough plays, maybe you'll get lucky on the few times that you don't get there and they won't execute it.
Right.
But there was no chance Minnesota had of no execution that night because they just sat back.
Sean from Hazleton, I think after reading the article in the Herald with Jerry Callahan about we are sending Brady to a gunfight with knives, it just sums it all up. Andy Hart was 100% right.
I agree.
He's an idiot. No. He says, we are wasting Tom Brady's prime years in that has to be most frustrating.
Did I say that?
I don't know.
I don't ever remember you saying that.
I'm not going.
I'm the quarterback apologist.
I'm not going to comment on the rest of the season or the game on Sunday because there's nothing left to say. I will say we should send Buffalo a Christmas card because if the Jets win, Paul said it best, hold on to your hearts. Let's just get in the tournament and see what happens. Did you say that?
I said hold on to your hat.
Oh.
Well, you know.
Who's this drunk email?
Arkansas Pine Bluff gets into the tournament for the college basketball every now and again, but they don't go too far. So,
George Mason.
I just think that if the Jets had lost that, if the Jets had won that game, there's three games left, and if the Jets somehow found a way to win the rest of their games and the Patriots lost just one, the Jets would have been the division winner. Now there's all sorts of tiebreakers and stuff that will come in, and the Patriots would have to really
collapse. It still could come down to that 8 o'clock game against Tennessee in the season finale.
Tom's very worried that Tennessee game is going to get moved to 8 o'clock. I still think that, if the Patriots lose a couple of games,
right.
then
if the Jets win out and they lose at Jacksonville? Now that game they have to win the division, right?
I don't really know what the tiebreaker would be for the Jets at that point. I don't know.
Anyway.
I think the Jets would have an edge. I think the Jets would have, well, I don't know. We'd have to look at the common opponents, stuff like that. I don't know.
Sean also says, two NFL notes. I hope we don't hear Dick Enberg ever again on Pats games. It was a privilege to hear Enberg on a Pats game in the 70s and 80s, but he needs to go out with grace. Also, the Cowboys better hope Romo never gets hurt because word out of Dallas, Drew has one foot on the plane to Montana already. They have worked out Tommy Maddox Vinny Testaverde as an insurance policy. Sad what has happened to Drew. One last thing, Jason Taylor is our daddy. Well, that's true. These guys are silent here. They don't know what to say.
Well, I was waiting for Paul to erupt or something about Drew.
For what? I mean, am I going to say that he's handled it well? I mean, he hasn't handled it well. He's sitting. I made the joke last week that they took Romo out and put Drew in, but he wasn't there. Bill turned around and said, "Where's the quarterback?"
Well, they're looking. They're in the Patriots' position. They only carry two guys, so
right.
They were looking.
They're not looking for someone in lieu of Drew. They're looking for someone to go with him. But I don't know. I would imagine if Romo got hurt, you know, much like in 2001, Drew was pouting at that time too, but he went out there and played and did well enough to win. So
led him to a Super Bowl.
Well, you know, some would look at it that way, Andy.
Neil in Northbridge, it's easy to overreact to a loss like Sunday's at Miami, but there are certain inescapable facts of life. We are pathetically short of quality wide receivers. The loss of Branch and Givens, irrespective of wheres and whys, is a major factor to this team's poor offensive production. You have to blame the front office for failing to recognize the potential situation that did eventually play out. The offensive line is terribly inconsistent, and I know it's easy to say after playing against Jason Taylor, but I have long thought Matt Light is not a good enough lineman to protect Brady's blind side. While talking about the O-line, whatever has happened to Nick Kasier this year, he has taken about 10 steps backwards. Do you think there is any chance they will eventually move Mankins to left tackle? What do you think about that?
Oh, I think Mankins could be a tackle in the future, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the one thing I would say is we were talking about it on the bus, that draft class that looked so good last year, all of a sudden, Hobbs can't get on the field over Ray Mickens, you know, Kasier's having trouble. I mean, Mankins
is a solid
is a good player.
Yeah.
But where's everybody else?
You guys talk much about Hobbs' situation?
No, we didn't.
I think that's
What situation? I read the Boston Globe, and it didn't say there was a situation.
Everything is peachy.
Well, he wasn't too happy after the game. Kind of.
Really, I read the Boston Globe, and I didn't get that.
handled it well.
Couldn't understand why.
But they don't give their opinion though.
Right.
They just
cut out anything that could be negative.
He handled it well.
That propaganda.
He didn't. He said that he didn't know what they were thinking, and in particular, I don't know what the coaching staff is thinking in particular, Bill. But he went on to say, but there's not a lot I can do about that. Wherever they put me, I need to make plays, whether that's special teams or defense, and I have to be a pro about it. So he did, you know, take the high road, but he clearly was not happy with the situation. Now, in reading some of the follow-up stuff that came out of the locker room yesterday, it seems that he's kind of more going to the fact that, you know, we asked him specifically, was it health-related, and he kind of shot that down after the game. But now listening to him yesterday, he seems to be making that claim that on Friday that they didn't know if he was going to be able to play until Friday at all. So maybe he feels like he rushed back from the original wrist injury that he suffered and had surgery and was questionable for a week.
Why do I keep seeing Jack Del Rio in a UCLA jersey? Did they make a bet?
Jones-Drew went to UCLA.
No, I know, but Tom Brady's made a lot of plays, and I never seen Bill Belichick in a Michigan jersey.
I bet you they made a bet like we'll rush for 300 yards or something, and Del Rio said, if you do, I'll wear a UC. I bet you it was something like in that neighborhood.
Maybe Maurice Jones-Drew just told him if we beat USC, you got to wear the UCLA shirt.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see. Neil goes on to say, we have no explosive players on offense apart from Maroney. We are so slow, it is embarrassing, and I do not want to hear about Chad Jackson until he finally gets on the field. Marty Booker is Miami's answer to Rod Smith of Denver, mm-hmm. and by that I mean he always saves his best games for the Patriots. Ask Tom Casale.
You don't need to ask him. He'll tell you.
What many, including me, thought was a season in which the Patriots would challenge for the Super Bowl again has turned into a disappointment. I am thinking ahead, too. But when we have been spoiled somewhat over the last 5 years, have we not? There are a lot more holes in this team than I think most people realize, and it's going to take a damn good draft and free agent period to fill even half of them adequately.
I was going to say, luckily they have $30 million and 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, but I understand now that a lot of teams have a lot of money under the cap.
Right. Patriots so are still up there, though. No,
they're
Patriots
not
going to
be competing for this team.
But they're in the top 10.
It's going to be very similar to baseball, where there's going to be a lot of new money that they weren't expecting to be around. And
which
most teams are in very good shape with the cap.
I think that's bad for the Patriots, not so much in terms of money, because they're going to have the money to spend, but it's bad for them in terms of philosophy, because Bill's going to set a value on a guy, and because there's so much money out there, it's not going to be a realistic value in all likelihood.
Well, they're going to have to get competitive.
And it's funny because how the weeks go by. It wasn't last week we didn't need Lawrence Maroney, wasn't that right?
Right.
We didn't need him. Now every email is, well, we got to have Maroney, we got to have Maroney.
That's true.
It's
because he's got Ryan O'Callaghan syndrome. He didn't play him. People love him.
It's exactly what it was. I agree with you guys.
I call it Randall Gay syndrome. But
I think if Maroney was on the field, I don't think much would have been different. But since he wasn't part of it, then
he doesn't get lumped in.
Right.
Josh says, if Gabriel is still on this team next year, never mind one of our top three receivers, I will spend every Sunday next season puking. We need so much in the draft, I don't see how we can get half of it done, even with the 2 first-round picks. It would be really great if we even had one guy who was a speed threat stretching the field. All I want for Christmas is a real receiving corps. Can you hear me, Santa?
So Doug Gabriel's not quite that steal anymore that he was. Wow, they fleeced
the
Raiders. A fifth-round pick for this guy? He was starting out there, and we give him a fifth-round pick and got him?
Very early in PFW's existence, we did a cartoon cover on PFW, and it said, all I want for Christmas is a wide receiver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, just talking about the draft, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to go into a draft and hit on 12 picks. You know what I like? I know they have a lot of picks, but...
Like we had an Ask PFW today that said they need to get it if they can get it in the first round a good cornerback and inside linebacker, and then in the second round a Harrison-like safety,
and then a receiver.
I mean, well, if you do that, put him in the Hall of Fame immediately. You know.
Well.
Plus, we all know with rookie receivers, how many of them come in and have a huge impact.
Right.
That's
God.
Sick.
I hope they get that Samardzija. Watch that bust out there, do nothing.
Doug Gabriel Redux.
Tony G writes, and the only good thing that happened on Sunday was that the Jets lost. Sorry, Patriots Nation. It's just not there this year. Where's the youth? Where's the speed? Where's the drive and ambition? You get what you pay for. At some point, you're going to have to pay for
Green
the
Bay,
talent,
Tennessee,
especially in the NFL now with the salary cap getting bigger and bigger. Where is our Jason Taylor? Where is our Wes Welker? Where is our Colston? Where are the Patriots playmakers?
Unfortunately, we have a bunch of
Troy Wes Welkers. Brown is the original Wes Welker.
Let's see. The days of the waiver wire team are over. Somebody tell Belichick and Pioli that it's okay to spend a little bit to build a football team in the NFL today. Skip the big trip to China. Spend the money on football players. So what?
I agree.
I think Belichick and Pioli would be all for that too, but I think it's above them on the ladder.
So what do we have for our draft picks again? Hey guys, when the team isn't doing well, how does that affect your job reporting on them? That's from TG and NJ.
For the most part, it doesn't really change.
Not unless they were like 1-15.
Yeah, right. You know, in 2000, it was kind of tough. You know, when they were 5-11, and you go in the locker room every day, and everybody's miserable every day, that negatively impacts you. But when you're 9-4, and let's face it, there's more wins that you're coming off of than losses. One loss doesn't necessarily. I don't think it's any different going in the locker room today than it. I mean, tomorrow,
right,
than it was last Wednesday.
I actually think it's harder in either direction. 1-15 or 15-1, because 15-1 is just. They're really good.
And you're writing the same
They're
thing.
They're still really good this week. They won easily.
From a professional standpoint, and I not that you're rooting for it, but losses actually right now, at least it changes your routine a little bit, and you get a little something different to talk about and write about.
You should have heard us throwing around cover ideas. There were plenty coming out of Miami in a devastating loss.
Kyle in West Warwick has a long email about what the Patriots should do in the future, which I'm going to skip for now. But his P.S. is funny. He says,
thanks, Kyle.
All the people who are complaining about Tom need to shut the hell up. So he isn't telling you your plan to trade for Mike Vick is brilliant? Boo freakity who. I've been listening to the show for 5 years now, and this is as entertaining as it's ever been. Wow. Like you said, the show's free. So if you don't like it, go listen to Paul on EEI.
Andy Hodge.
Oh, that's free, too.
Hey, we haven't heard from him lately.
Who?
The guy who did the Christopher Walken imitation.
Yeah, Swig.
Andy Hodge. Boo frickity who.
He got a job or something. I don't know. Did he
you think I do all that work for
Paul not in his mom's basement anymore. No offense,
wow,
guys.
Wow, what a game.
I don't remember that line about me.
What did he say?
You think I do all that work for Paul Perillo?
But that was just his regular voice, wasn't it?
Yeah, that wasn't Christopher Walken.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
All right.
Meant, okay.
John Rooks here.
The only Patriot guy who's happy today, and I think we all know why.
Why?
Vinsanity.
Vince Young.
Oh, he's good.
What?
The man went back to Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Did you see that play?
It was pretty good.
Thinks he'll never be a good NFL quarterback.
He's the best player in professional football.
He is right now.
Pretty good.
He is
Tom has surpassed me on the Vinsanity meter.
The best player in
I saw
NFL
that
football.
Play. That's all I needed to see.
I'm a little concerned about how we might defend him in a couple of weeks, you know?
Yeah.
You should be.
Should be.
Yeah.
With those linebackers chasing him, you're screwed.
Considering some of those little ankle tackles.
Right. So
not so much.
Are we Chicken Little today? Is the sky falling?
Oh, yeah.
I think it already fell, crashed, and burned, and they're wondering how to rebuild in future years.
Yeah, nothing good's coming
out of
this
show. Which
one
of you guys also picked an L last week? Which one of you guys picked an L for the Patriots? One of you guys did. Paul did. Somebody else did, didn't you?
Tom
did you? Yeah, all right. It makes three of us.
Yeah.
Patting on the back.
Just wanted to get that out there on the record.
Jeez. Well, you knew one guy didn't, so it's just whether or not Andy did.
Right.
Which is stunning that Andy didn't, because he thinks they're going to lose every week.
That's not true.
No, he's more positive this year than Fred.
I am pretty
this
positive.
Guy doesn't think they have a chance to lose against anybody.
It's true.
He was still thinking the Patriots are going to win halfway through the fourth quarter when it was 13-0, and it might as well have been 113-0.
I'm telling you, those are those games, though. You don't know how they do it, but all of a sudden they put two scores on the board.
I felt
the moment. In the past.
The moment Marty Booker caught that pass, I felt that was game seven.
When it was 6-0, I felt if the Patriots score a touchdown, that's going to change everything.
Yeah, now I would have said the same thing. Right. It's 6-0.
When it was 0-0,
if it stayed 6-0, that's just one play. At 13, they need two. When they haven't made one,
it was over at 13. It definitely was over.
If they didn't score with that first possession in the fourth quarter, it was over, and they didn't, and that was it.
Plus, as our listeners have so accurately pointed out, they don't have any playmakers, so they need to put together drives. They don't just have these big plays for touchdowns.
John,
on either side.
Was it as ugly on TV as it was in person?
Oh, it was brutal. Yeah. It was brutal. I just kept.
And you didn't have the cheerleaders in halfway down to look at. You know, you skipped the field and just looked to the sideline.
It was frustrating, but you kept waiting, you know, for the offense to do something. And yet, you know, I don't think I have seen, at least in recent memory, an offensive line struggle as much as the Patriots' offensive line
did. They stunk.
I mean, honestly, I mean, I actually thought that the tackles, if you want to get really technical, I thought the tackles were pretty good because Corey Dillon had some space to run. Of course, he was able to get around in on a couple of occasions. But I thought that, you know, the tackles, did, I mean, the guards did okay. The tackles were horrendous.
Oh, okay.
That's what
see,
I
Matt
Lake? Sorry.
I was ready.
I was ready to attack.
Bass ackwards. The tackles were about as bad as I have seen tackles play pro football. I mean, Matt Light, we all know that he has traditionally struggled with Jason Taylor, but he didn't even look like he belonged on a National Football League field. He did not. And then I can't explain Nick Kazier other than the fact that, you know, he's Nick Kazier.
Right.
And he's been out a lot of this year and early in the season. And I know they flip-flopped Jason Taylor early on the defense, and so they, you know, kind of wore him out a little bit and then said, well, let's try the other side and let's put him out over there. And I've never seen anything like it. And the fact that the Patriots couldn't adjust and put an extra blocker back there, I mean, they had a couple of occasions where they had two tight ends in the backfield, you know, to block for Brady, and they still couldn't block the guys. I mean, there's no excuse for that. There's absolutely none whatsoever. That is all on the offensive line, and it's all on the offense in terms of what they schemed to try to beat
Miami. When's the last time in this era that we said, boy, the low point of the season was week 15?
Yeah, that's the problematic.
Usually
thing.
The low point of the season comes.
Even last year, they had won the last, five?
Yeah.
Four, this is five. Why we're going through uncharted waters here, at least in recent memory.
You guys came down, I was saying to Fred, it's really disturbing because they just came off a game against the Lions where they admitted they weren't in it emotionally.
Right.
Right.
And last year we talked about, well, were they building false confidence against a weak schedule? Well, the Lions are pretty weak, and you couldn't even build a false confidence this year.
Nope. That's why I think I think we've talked about this a little bit throughout the course of the season, but this is crossroads, big time crossroads. And
there's a train coming.
the light at the end of the tunnel is the proverbial oncoming train.
No question.
And well, I'll tell you what the oncoming train is. It's John Rook's show.
Fred putting an end to that crossover.
Coming right up. We got to get going. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.